Welcome back to another episode of Off Topic. The show seems to have started without us. How you doing, Aaron?
Oh, Carl, hold on one second.
Okay, you choking on your cottage cheese?
Give me a second. Hold on. Okay, here we go. Ready? How are you doing? Okay.
You know what's funny? I didn't even realize the show started either.
We're starting early. This is earlier than we normally start.
No. The clock is the clock, man. It's an automation software runs on its own. And all of a sudden, I look up, and the theme music was playing. And I'm like, oh, man, I don't have my headphones on or anything. I wasn't even ready. And then I looked at you, and I was waiting for you to come in. Oh, that's funny. We just made it. We just made it for the show.
Thankfully, we did make it. And it's funny, Carl. You just called me on Skype here, and I just picked up. But I literally was just hold on. I was actually sticking the headset, the preferences, and changing it for the headset. So we literally just made it.
Yeah.
How you doing, buddy?
That's live radio for you, baby. It's I'm doing good, man. I'm doing really good.
All the way live.
Hey,
I don't even have my notes, Carl.
Okay. We'll just wing it. It's okay. You don't need your notes. Speaking of all the way live, did you hear that I'm moving back to Louisville?
Yes, you've told me you're moving back to Louisville. Very exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
And why, Carl, are you moving back to Louisville?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of reasons. I mean, I've got a 13-year-old daughter that lives there that I need to be in her life. I never wanted to leave Louisville. You know, I left Louisville because of the divorce, and the divorce is final and it's over, and I want to move back.
You've got a lot of friends there, actually.
Yeah, I've been
there.
It's
funny, you know, at the Olympia, a lot of people asked for you and mentioned, you know, that they hadn't seen you, and a lot of people from Louisville. So it's, you know.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
That you got. I know where you're at now in Arizona. You don't have a lot of friends. So.
No, nobody. And the reality is that I was in Louisville for like 23 years. You know, almost 24 if you count the time that I went back there. During the divorce, you know, it's a long time to be in one place, and I like Louisville. I like the seasons. I'm not crazy about Arizona, to be honest with you. I'm not crazy about Phoenix, I should say. Let's put it that way, because Phoenix is different than the rest of Arizona.
You said Scottsdale is really nice, right?
Yeah, Scottsdale is beautiful. It's greener. You know, it's got more foliage and growth and, you know, cactuses, and it's just
That's the thing that struck me, Carl, is when I visited you for the Phoenix Pro Show in February. Everything is so like
one
khaki and gray.
Yeah, it's monochromatic city. Everything is like a version of some form of salmon or tan.
Yeah, like your sister's neighborhood, all the houses are that salmon color and tan and khaki. You got to wonder if you're a builder, why keep with that that color?
The people who manage the subdivisions, they won't let you paint, but like they have like specific colors you can paint your house. They have like three colors. That's it.
And they think that that's a good thing?
Well, you have to remember that everybody has these red tile roofs. There's only so much you can do when your roof is red.
I don't know. To me, it just looked very, I don't know the right word. I mean, I guess
it's monochromatic. Yeah, it is. It's monochromatic.
Well, monochromatic doesn't put the feeling that it gives you. It doesn't express the way you look at these colors all the time. And also, there's no grass. It's all rock.
Yeah, right. And then like right now, it's 5 o'clock. It's still 99 degrees.
Oh, well, that's. Oof.
It's cooling off now. I mean, this is the cool weather because last month and the month before. It's constantly 116 degrees. It's just so uncomfortable, too.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we mentioned on the show about how Vegas, that dry heat, you know, I like it at first because it's not, you know, when it's that hot here, it feels horrible because you get sticky.
Right.
But my body is just not even used to that kind of heat, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm tired of it. I've been here since June of last year, and I really want to get out of here. And, interestingly enough, I'll be taking my mother with me to Louisville.
Is that 100%?
Yeah, I have no choice. I have to do it. I can't leave her here. My sister's unable to help her, and there's really no one else here to like pitch in with her. And so,
what's going to happen to your mom's house?
We're going to rent it out.
Okay.
Anybody who wants to rent a fully furnished two-bedroom townhome in Tempe, in the real area of Tempe. It's a very, very nice area.
You should start talking it up. Be like, it is.
It's fully furnished.
The climate there in Arizona is wonderful.
Well, no, if somebody lives here in Arizona already and they're looking for a two-bedroom townhome in the Warner Ranch Estates area. Fully furnished. Just move in and go to sleep. Bring your clothes. That's it.
Wow. You want to put a price tag on it now, or they'll have to contact?
I don't have a price tag for it yet. I got to do a little research, but it's going to be a tad more than $1,000 a month. I'm thinking
it looks like $1,250, $1,300.
Yeah, I was thinking between $1,100 and $1,200 a month, fully furnished. Yeah, absolutely.
If it was here in Baton Rouge, if it was here in Houston, I'd take it.
Yeah, it's a nice place.
Not bad at all.
It's a nice place.
Yeah.
I'll be taking her back to Louisville. I'm going to get myself a little three-bedroom something or other, put a studio in one, and have her bedroom in the other one and my bedroom in the other one. And just, you know, it's the right thing to do, too. I mean, she took care of me. She raised me. And she's at a point in her life where either for one reason or another, people are not available to help her or don't want to help her. And
you think you're going to be able to – I mean, you think that if you get out of Arizona – it'll be easier to deal with her? Because I know it's your patience is kind of running.
No, it's not going to be easier to deal with her. No, it's not. But there's going to be some changes. She'll be out of her element, so she's going to have to learn some new things, and it may actually make her a little bit more easier to deal with. And no, it's not going to be easy. I'm probably going to have to require some help.
Have you discussed this with her?
Yeah, we talked about it today, actually.
Did she get upset?
No, she's looking forward to it.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Because she wants to, you know, she feels wanted with me. She wants, you know, she knows that I want to bring her with me, and she's kind of excited about it.
Oh, wow. Good. I was worried she would be, you know, upset about it.
She was upset last week. Last week I was out of the house, and she called me up, and she was crying, and I didn't know why she was crying. And then when I came home, I found out that she had packed up all my dad's stuff. My dad died last year. And she finally, like, took all of his clothes and his shirts and all of his belongings and put it in boxes and bags and had it stacked around her bedroom, and that's why she was crying. And I think that it'd be good to get her out of the house for a while, to get a change of pace, because she misses my dad a lot. They were married for over 60 years, you know? They got married in their 20s. He died when he was 85. She just turned 86 this month.
Right. I remember when your dad died, you went, we were doing the show.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I think it'll be
really
good.
We've been doing this show for a while, Carl. This is show number 96.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah, it really is. We're gonna break 100, Carl.
Carl, does the home come with a studio? LOL. No, the studio is coming with me. Sorry, Keith. But anyway, it's amazing how fast it's gone. The time has gone with the show.
Yeah, time flies. It seems like just yesterday we were, I was at my old shitty apartment in downtown Houston, and you were and we were talking on the phone for the first time, huh?
Yeah, and I was in my little bachelor pad in Louisville at the time.
Yeah, in Louisville, right?
I was supposed to play this music for, you know what this is?
What, the which one?
This is Going Back to Cali by Biggie Smalls.
Oh.
That's what it's supposed to be.
It's Going Back to Louisville.
Yeah, right. But anyway,
oh, you didn't. You couldn't play it?
I don't know what this is. What is this? Hold on.
It's nothing.
Yo.
Yo, Big, wake up, baby.
Yeah.
Yo, Big, wake your ass up. Come on.
This is good.
Big, wake up.
I'm up, Diddy.
That's Puffy in the back.
Is that what it is?
That's P. Diddy. Say, wake up.
7:30 flight. Yo, Big.
I'm up. Yeah, I hear you, dog. I hear you, man. All right, 7:30.
Yo, take down this information.
The hell did you download, Carl?
I don't know. It was just Notorious Big going back to Cali. Anyway.
Just leave it playing in the background.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I know. It's amazing how many shows we've done in a short period of time. It really goes fast.
You know what? Shut him off. He's distracting me.
Yeah, okay. I thought the song would start. Where the hell's the song?
Forward it a little bit. So hard that your hat can't fit you. Either I'm with you
or against you. Format bent you. Back through that maze I sent you. He was great, man. Inventor. Nigga with the game type fifth that flame right. Spell my name right. B-I-double-G-I-E. Ice out, lights out. Me and C the Leo. Getting head for some chick he know. See, it's all about the cheddar. Nobody do it better. Going back to Cali, strictly for the weather. Going back to the Ville. Back in Louisville, the hipsters call it the Ville. I'm going back to the Ville. I really like Biggie Smalls, man. He was great. Anyway, What else we want to talk about? Oh, man, I listened to...
Well, the first thing is you should congratulate me on the Heavy Muscle Radio thing.
Yes. Well, I wanted to say that. I listened to you on Heavy Muscle Radio the other day.
Oh, that's what you were going to say.
Yeah, I listened to you on Heavy Muscle Radio.
Unbelievable that you listened to
me. You told me you were going to be on, so I figured I would listen. And I think that you add a flavor to that show that they've been missing for a long time. I mean, no disrespect to John Romano, but John was very, very, I don't know, monotone on the show. You know what I mean? He didn't really get too driven. Periodically he did, but I mean, he didn't get too driven too often. But you sound like you're really interested in the show. It sounded good. I think do good with Dave.
That's what a lot of people said. A lot of the comments was that they could tell I was excited to be doing it. You know what I mean? As opposed to... I wouldn't say that John sounded unexcited, but, you know, I'm not sure that that was really John's bag anymore, you know?
Yeah. We don't know what was going on. I mean, John may have had aspirations to move on for a long time, and maybe he just, you know, it's all speculation at this point in time. I'm happy for the guy if he's doing good. That's all that's important. And I'm happy for you, too, if you decide to join forces with RX Muscle to a greater degree. I think that's the wonderful thing. I think they'd be lucky to get you, to be honest with you.
Thank you, Carl.
But then you'd have to contend with Sybil the producer.
Sybil the producer? What do you mean, Sybil the producer?
You don't know who Sybil was? There was a movie.
The producer?
Yeah. There was a movie in the 70s called Sybil. I think it was Sally Fields played Sybil. It was a girl who like was abused when she was young, and so as a result, she had like 50 different personalities that used to come out and. They used to present as.
So you're saying Jeff was abused when he was young, and now.
I'm just saying that he's got multiple personalities. That's all I'm saying.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Where is this all coming from?
I listened.
Carl?
I also.
You're getting me in trouble with Jeff now, Carl. Jeff, I didn't have anything to do with this. What are you talking about, Carl?
Well, I listened to After Hours.
After Hours. Yeah. Listened to After Hours.
Yeah, in the very, very beginning of After Hours, Jeff goes off on me because of my comment about the email that he sent to Dr. Connolly after I announced on Supreme Radio that I would be producing a show for Dr. Connolly. And it's amazing to me when I listen to him because he
did an imitation of you.
And it doesn't sound like me, but I guess, you know, for everybody.
He said it was the bitch side of you coming out.
Yeah. And you know
you
what?
You could tell he was agitated because he was voiceless.
Exactly. Exactly. He was clearly agitated. And I'm sorry that he was agitated, but what I said was true about the email because Connolly sent me a copy of the email. So
go through this whole thing again because I don't know.
I announced on Supreme Radio one day that I was going to be producing. Tricepter Productions is proud to announce that we'll be producing a show called Body RX for Dr. Scott Connolly. We had signed the deal, and someone posted on what the hell is that sound? Someone
I'm
had posted
the noises. Over
yeah,
there.
I know. I'll find out what it is. Someone had posted on RX Muscle that. I had announced on Supreme Radio that I would be producing a show for Dr. Scott Connolly. And then later that day, Scott sent me an email saying, did you post something on RX Muscle? And I said, no, I announced it on my show. And then he sent me the email that Jeff, the producer, had sent saying, hey, we would like to produce your show for you. And you can host it on RX Muscle.
And you're saying the only way they could have found out about, or Jeff could have found out about the show is from Supreme Radio because it wasn't announced.
Well, I don't think he listened to Supreme Radio. I just think he saw the thread on the RX board that said, you know, Carl announced today on Supreme Radio that.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. I remember that thread.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. And so, you know, I mean, listen, it's all fair in business. He can go after the deal if he wants to. It's no big deal. But what I said was just, you know, factual. I didn't like come off and go, oh, you know, Jeff is a scumbag and he said he overstepped his boundaries or some shit like that. I don't know what he meant by that. But I just think that, well, I think that Jeff is probably one of the most talented radio people I've ever met, but I have a feeling that the reason that he's not working for a large broadcast firm is because his personality is such that he kind of loses it once in a while. So,
you know. I have no comment on any of this.
All right. I'm just saying.
I can tell you this, that the next show on After Hours, I would definitely listen to that one because I have a feeling Jeff will have a retort for your comments.
Well, and that's fine. He's entitled to his opinion, but I'm not going to listen next time, so he's just going to have to say it for the people, not for me.
Well, I'll listen and I'll relay them to you.
Yeah, there you go. That's fine.
I, if they're really good. Jeff, you better, I know Jeff's listening right now, so, or he will listen. I will relay them to Carl. And
if he's listening, I can text him a number he can call in and he can address this right now.
Oh, he's probably not listening live.
But okay.
That would be good for maybe for next show if he wants to address it on the show.
Yeah, but he has to talk in his own voice. He can't talk in someone else's voice.
He might not do it then, but we'll try. And, hopefully he will. That would be great.
Okay.
Or he could do it as Derek Anthony. That would be interesting.
No, I want him to do it as Jeff.
Okay.
Yeah, he has to do it as Jeff. That's all.
You know, it's a shame because his Derek Anthony impression is my favorite one. And now that Derek Anthony is not around anymore, he doesn't give it. There's no more Derek Anthony impression.
Well, Derek Anthony is still around. He's just not on the RX board.
Right. That's what I meant. Of course he's around. He's still got his own radio show.
Yeah. And apparently you're a big fan of it, according to one of his recent Facebook posts.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he has a picture of you with a T-shirt on. Did you put a Derek Anthony T-shirt on or something like that once?
Oh, yeah, that was a long, long time ago. That was his show on RX, and he sent me a T-shirt.
There you go.
Yeah. Let's see. What else, Carl? We should say why Rain Priest isn't on the show tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She was supposed to be on the show. And
Lee Priest's wife, we've had her on before, Rain. She was going to call. Are we going to call her from Australia? She's going to call in from Australia. And unfortunately, kind of at the last minute, she had thought about it, and I guess she talked it over with Lee, and they thought, or really, really Lee thought that it wasn't in her best interest, or his best interest, or their best interest, for her to come on, because she had some pretty uncensored things to say about some certain people, and I don't even go into it, because I don't want to get them in trouble. You know, I don't want Lee to get in trouble, you know.
Right.
I can't say we're friends, but we're certainly, I'm a fan.
Well, you're
of his.
You're and you like you want to be respectful of the privacy that he wants right now about some of these things. So
yeah, so I'm not trying to, you know how we are. We're not trying to get anybody in trouble. So as entertaining as it would have been to have her on, because she had some really really interesting things to say, I can understand why he might not want her to be on right now, because I know he wouldn't want to get in trouble with anybody, you know. But unfortunately, one of the things we're going to have on to talk about, Carl, is that Lee had been set up and been planning to do the Sacramento Pro Show for quite a while now as his big return to the stage. And he announced recently that he wouldn't be able to do the show, and he's not going to be doing the show because of financial difficulties. It just didn't make he wasn't financially able to prepare and to get to America and to stay for a while to compete. So
right,
that was what she was going to
come on
to talk about.
A lot of people get pissed off about that?
Well, she had some comments to make about, you know, Sean Ray and MD and the forums and people on the forums.
Why, did Sean Ray say anything bad about Lee as a result of that? To your knowledge?
No, Lee and Sean Ray had an interesting relationship. They kind of pick back and forth at each other. And I think Sean had said that he didn't think Lee would ever return to the stage, and that, you know, he basically bet that Lee wouldn't. And, you know, I think maybe Sean was gloating a little bit because, you know, Lee's not making the comeback, at least that everybody thought he was.
Well, you know what? And he can make the comeback at any time. A comeback there's not a time limit on a comeback.
Well, let's hope he, I'm hoping that Lee, I can understand
if he decides that he doesn't want to come back, there's nothing wrong with that either. I don't understand why people are sitting.
Well, they have a show, in 2011, Tony Doherty puts on in Australia, that's literally a 2-hour drive from Lee's house. So I would imagine if he's going to make a comeback and finances are an issue, that would be a perfect time to do that. And that's March 2011.
You know, and I don't see any of the I don't see many of the American bodybuilders footing the bill to go to Australia to compete. I mean, that's a big undertaking to fly, you know, halfway around the world.
Usually they get about 10, and then a majority of those are not a majority, at least 5 or so are paid by Tony to get them over there. So,
right.
Also, you got to remember, Lee is not sponsored by a nutritional supplement company, and usually the supplement companies are paying for the athletes' the bills to compete. Like when Jose Raymond competes, you know, MuscleTech pays for his airfare and his hotel room.
Yeah.
Right. So for Lee, you know, that's looking at, you know,
and is
almost
it $3,000. I heard that Jose Raymond might pick up Willy Wonka chocolate as a sponsor.
I don't know, Carl. You know, he's already mad at me. I don't want to say anything else about him.
The Oompa Loompa connection, I was thinking.
I know what you're thinking.
I'm sorry. I had to do that. I'm sorry.
Jose Raymond's a wonderful man. Very handsome.
You know what? I'm giving you an opportunity to stick
up
for him.
I'm defending him. Don't say that about Jose.
I'm sorry. Okay.
All right. There you go.
Well, anyway, so Rain Priest will not be on tonight. We're sorry. For those of you who are tuning in just to listen to her, because she is quite a delight to listen to. She holds nothing back.
You guys can now disconnect and turn off the radio.
There you go. We just lost half of our audience at that.
There they go. She was really upset not to be able to do it. She really let, you know, both Lee and her are regular listeners to the show, and I know that she wanted to do it, and I can guarantee you that this will be the place you hear Lee Priest, if God forbid, loses his MD contract, you'll be hearing Lee here first, and that will be one interview you do not want to miss.
Yeah, I want to be here for that one. I like Lee. You know what's funny? When I first started Superhuman Radio 5 years ago, because of the Superman theme and all that sort of stuff, and this was back in the day when Lee was competing at the Arnold, and he was still using that whole Superman thing, you know.
I remember that when your show started, Superhuman Radio.
Yeah,
Superhuman
right. Radio. And I used to have the Superman song, Faster Than a Speeding Bullet, you know, more powerful. And I walked up to Lee after he really took a hosing by the judges. I mean, in my opinion, they didn't treat him fairly at that particular Arnold. And I walked up to him, he was coming out, and I shook his hand, and I said, look, I host a show called Superhuman Radio, I'd love to have you on. But he just looked like he was in a daze at that moment, because I really think that he felt really betrayed by the judges, because he looked so – this was the year that guys like Gustavo Bedell, they all had that huge tortoise shell of a stomach, and Lee had like the most – the just trimmest midsection, just flat abs, and everybody else was sporting the call-it-what-you-want gut. And I just felt like the poor guy got ripped off. And
that's one thing you can say about Lee, is that Lee has never never got that distended midsection look. That's an interesting point, Carl. Of all the guys, I don't know if that's because of I know he's famous. People don't believe that the amount of drugs that he did. And he claims he did a certain amount. And, you know, I for one believe him, but a lot of people don't. If you look at his midsection, you know, something's different there.
He can. I'll bet you money that he can do a vacuum pose. Now, I haven't seen him lately. I mean, again, I'm talking about when I, you know, the last few times I saw him. I bet you he could do a vacuum pose. And that's a pose that's been lost.
You can ask him one day when we get him on.
There you go. Okay.
Hopefully before show 200.
There you go. What else?
Our music director, GX. I want to give a shout out to GX. I'm saying this on the radio so you can hear. Carl, we are going to, in the future, we are going to give our guest changes, our list changes. If the guests change, we're going to get GX the list and the people of the guests, I mean.
In ample time so that he can, because GX actually selects specific music for each guest.
Right. He takes this seriously.
Tonight, there's music that's going to be playing for Rain Priest that was meant for her, but unfortunately, we'll be playing for someone else.
Sally Ann Taylor.
And Sally Ann is definitely a worthy person to have the music for anyway. So there you go.
Yes, she's lovely. And when we have her on the radio, we always have fun. So that'll be good.
Yeah.
And maybe if you guys listen, you listeners, you'll get to hear maybe some inside scoop from Sally Ann about what's going on behind the scenes at RX Muscle.
There you go.
She's actually at Dave Palumbo's house right now.
Really?
Yeah, working on the website and making plans for the future.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yes. The other big news, Carl, is NPC Nationals. I leave tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. for Atlanta.
To watch your good friend, PJ Braun, make his pro debut, right? No, not pro debut. No. Win his pro card. I'm sorry. Sorry. The next one will be his pro debut.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. He'll be vying for a pro card. I think there are 20, I think it's 24 people in his class. The super heavyweight class is huge. 30 guys in the super heavyweight class. There's over 500 competitors signed up for nationals. It's the biggest, as far as competitor wise, it's the biggest show of the year, for amateur show. And, we actually know a lot of people that are competing in it. Jilly Rev, who listens to the show, Jillian, is competing for her pro card as well. Carl?
I'm drinking water. Go ahead.
She is going to be competing. You want to wish her luck, Carl?
Good luck, Jilly. Yes.
Jesus, Carl.
I'm sorry. I'm drinking water. I'm sorry. Why would you? I just said I was drinking water. So why would you ask me to say anything?
I'm not going to know you're drinking water.
I just said I'm drinking water. You said,
well, I figured you were done the drinking.
No, no, I'm thirsty. Anyway, yeah, I hope that she does well. She's a sweet girl.
Melissa DiBernardo is also trying for a pro card. She's a lightweight bodybuilder, and she is a species-sponsored athlete.
Cool.
Juan Morel is also on the boards and a friend of ours.
Hey, hold on a second. Oh, it stopped. There was a call coming in on the studio line. I thought it might have been Jeff the producer, but no.
No.
Okay.
No.
And who else?
I'm sure it's not Jeff the producer. What's that, Carl?
Who else? Juan Morel, you said?
Juan Morel. I mean, Todd Jewell has been on our show before. He's competing as a super heavyweight. Remember, that was the guy who stopped the bank robber, Carl?
Yeah, yeah. I remember him very well. Nice
Steve
guy.
Kuklo, who we had on the firefighter.
Another great guy. Right, firefighter, right.
Yeah, he was a good guest, too. Remember that?
Yep.
Steve will be competing for his pro card. Keith Williams is competing for a pro card. You know, we've had a Big Sean Allen is competing for his pro card.
Wow.
Yeah, he's looking enormous, and he's really brought up his legs, so... I think this will be Sean Allen's best shot this year.
Good for him. I wish him.
So we got a lot of there's a laundry list of them, but that's just the ones that you would have heard of.
Right.
So it's funny, Carl. We've had so many guests on now that when I actually bring up guests,
I don't remember them.
You don't necessarily remember them.
No, I don't.
You do remember Mel Chancy, don't you?
Yes. He was the Hell's Angel guy.
Yes, among other things, but yes, he was the.
That's how I have him cataloged in my memory. So yeah,
he also won the Illinois State Bodybuilding Championship. Right. He's really helps the organization in Illinois MPC. He was also hung out with me and Sally Ann and Dennis James in Chicago for Junior Nationals. Remember?
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's right. Because he lives up there.
Right.
And so he's going to be, where is he going to be?
So he'll be at Nationals too. And we're planning to go out with him and a whole bunch of other guys. I know him and Dennis James, of course, is retired now. And, supposedly, Dennis is coming down and, Marcus Haley and you don't know him. You do know Marcus Haley.
I know who Marcus Haley is. Yeah. Yeah.
Remember Marcus Haley?
And I've actually met him. I want to say I could be wrong, but I think I met him at the ALR party one year at the Olympia.
Well, I know you met him in Phoenix. Because he was at the Phoenix Pro Show.
Yeah, maybe that's where I met him. Yeah.
And then who else, Carl? Let's see. That's a few other guys. Victor Martinez.
So where are you guys going to go? You're going to like?
I don't know. I think they want to go to a strip club, Carl.
Oh, you don't do that, do you?
I don't normally, but if they're going to go, I mean, you know.
You know, Aaron. Aaron, you can't put quarters in a girl's G-string.
No.
Okay.
That would be funny.
But if you are going to do it, heat them up first with a cigarette lighter.
Oh, Carl. Yeah, that'll go over well.
That'll get him to stick to her flesh at least.
Oh, God.
Here, hold this for me.
Like, yeah, exactly. I didn't want you to drop it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So,
yeah, that's going to be interesting, you know. Let's see. Let's see what else, Carl. I guess that's it, man. We got tonight on the show. We got a recorded conversation, or a recorded interview. I don't want to confuse people with the conversation with PJ Braun segment. We're going to do a short recorded interview, like 20 minutes that we recorded with PJ Braun.
Right.
And that'll be on next. And after that, we will be going.
Good thing you said that. I have to find it now. I'll have to find it during.
You don't have to put it on until after the commercial break.
Yeah, I know. I have a little.
Chrissy Chin, IFBB Pro. Chrissy Chin, who competed in her second figure Olympia.
Right.
Will also be on the show. And she's going to be competing next weekend. Not this weekend, but next weekend here in Houston at the Houston Pro, which I'll be covering for RX Muscle.
Cool.
And my friend Tim is going to be shooting the paparazzi pictures. And Dan Ray will be down here. And Morgan, who's a friend of Dave's and stuff, will be working the Houston Pro Show for – that's the Lee Thompson production, Lee and Stacy Thompson. Right. You do remember them, don't you?
Yep, I sure do.
Very good.
I'm looking for hold on a second. I'm looking for this I think I know where I put it.
We gotta do shout outs too. We've been bad on the shout outs.
Okay, would you do shout outs and I'm just gonna drag this into the appropriate folder?
I'll have to open up my browser and stuff, so you want me to do that?
Yeah.
Right. Hold on.
I actually have the PJ interview all queued up, so I'll help out here if you want me to.
Well, let's just get a RX Muscle here. Let's see. Are you already there on the forums?
I am. I am going to click the link and go to... Yeah, hold on a second here. Off Topic Radio. PJ Braun, Chrissy Chin. Okay, we've got GX, our music producer, Risk Taker, Medium Extreme, Past Genetics, Keith Allen, KZ, Kenny Cola, God's Gift, AVBG. Excuse me, of course, Chrissy Chin, our guest tonight. She also logged in there. Rambo 2. Of course, thanks to Jeff, the producer, for posting the show. Go Home, Fatback Goal, JDL80, Ryan Bracewell, Rex with a W, Country Boy, The Big King, Alaska Muscle, Yukon Crazy, Green Machine 23, Tag, T-A-G-H, I think it's Tag. Okay, G. Davis, and Jaundice McTitties. So those are the people that requested shout-outs that are on the boards right now.
Well, I also have to give a big shout-out to Big Barry. It's his birthday. I mean, it was his birthday yesterday, but we're going to still give a big shout-out to Big Barry for his birthday.
Very cool.
I believe on Medium Extreme actually requested that for Big Barry, so good looking out. Also, Mike Zeltzer down in Florida, the Algebra Wizard. Give a big shout-out to Mike.
Okay, that's cool.
All right, well, let's do go to break, and we'll come back and you want us to talk for a minute, and then we will run.
Yeah,
the,
we'll intro the piece, and then we'll play it. Okay.
All right.
Are you listening to Off Topic Radio? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. speciesnutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormone optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010's number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. speciesnutrition.com.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Zoom, Dad, zoom.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Off Topic Radio.
Interesting music, Carl.
I'm sure that there was a reason for it. I think I like this song, this music better for tonight because of our guests tonight. Oh yeah, it's ladies' night and the feeling's right. Oh yeah, it's ladies' night. Cool in the gang. You're too young to remember these guys, right?
No, I remember the song, of course. They play this at every bar mitzvah.
When they want the girls to get up and dance.
Yeah, this is very normal bar mitzvah music,
Yeah, because we do have Chrissy Chin and Sally Ann Taylor.
And next we have on the biggest lady of them all.
Yes, PJ Braun.
Yes.
Now, you want to set up the interview before we play it, or you want to just roll with it?
I think I kind of set it up when we started recording.
So here it is. It's a brief 22-minute interview. We got PJ to talk.
Basically, we wanted to have him on before he left. And he left already today. He's
right.
Gone.
So here you go. So
he's
here
in
he
Atlanta
is.
Right now.
There you go. So you ready? There it is.
Ready. Let's do it.
Okay, so we are here with PJ Braun, and we're going to do a 10-minute PJ Braun update. We got Nationals this week, PJ. You must be getting excited just a few days.
Yep, it's almost here. All my hard work and everything that I've gone through, it's time to display it in a couple days.
Now, I got to ask him a question. Your technique this year was to do something like Kevin English did, which is to come in at what weight and then hopefully put that weight back on in a short period of time after the weigh-ins. What weight are you at right now, PJ?
I'm finally down to, in the morning where I need to be at night on Thursday. So I need to weigh in at 225 on Thursday night.
I mean, you're 225 in the morning. What are you at night right now?
This morning, I was 225. This morning, I've done some a bit drastic things the past couple days. I've dropped 5 pounds in 2 days. But
is it not true that that was from a single bowel movement, actually?
it looked a little bit like Aaron doing the bowel movement.
It was a drastic bowel movement.
Okay.
Yes.
So is this the first time you've ever done this, gotten down to this kind of weight before a competition?
I've competed as a heavyweight, actually, just about every show I've done. But it's never been an issue for me to make the weight. I've always been able to carb up the way I always wanted to carb up and do everything that I wanted to do and never have any issues with it. This is the first time where I've had to, basically suffer just to get to a certain weight and then have to be very, very, meticulous with what I'm doing now to make sure that I can still make that weight.
Cool.
Up until just a few weeks ago, you were under the impression that you were going to be a super heavyweight. What made you decide to suck down to a heavyweight?
Well, it was a combination of things. For starters, after I saw the USA's, I was very unimpressed with the caliber of heavyweights this year. And there was a couple guys that are very good, Fred Smalls, who was off. And, I thought, wow, he was supposed to win the show, and he opened the door for a bunch of guys who, I really wasn't all that impressed with. And I didn't, really think of it anymore from that. And then I saw the North Americans. And at the North Americans, a good friend of mine, Juan Morel, who was supposed to be a super heavyweight, who basically walks around the same weight as I do, somehow suffered down and made a heavyweight at the end.
And Juan is taller than you, too.
Yes, Juan is about an inch taller than me. And he looked outstanding and really pushed Lee Banks, who's the man in the heavyweights. I don't think that anybody would have argued if Juan had won. But, they gave it to Lee. He deserved it. And Lee, to me, was like the dominating, last force in the heavyweights, and he's gone now. So seeing that kind of inspired me, man, all these guys that I was competing with last year having all this success now. Juan, who's about my size, just nearly turned pro. Maybe I need to just suffer it out one last year and get into that class and, just make sure I can fill myself out properly. Because I know that Juan at North Americans, although he weighed in at 225, was over 230 pounds by the time he got on stage. And he looked monstrous against the other heavyweights. So basically, I said, that's the route that I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to be a monster in the heavyweights rather than being a smaller, streamlined super heavyweight.
I think it makes perfect sense. I think you're very smart what you're doing.
So,
I'm
going to
probably most likely be the same weight I would have been anyway, just in a lighter weight class.
Right. Right, and you'd want to be the bigger guy in the lighter weight class, let's face it.
So. What's so the process, I think this is the way to go.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Aaron? I stepped on you. Good. What did you say?
What is the process, PJ, you're going to go through? You weigh in Thursday night at 7. What is the process to fill back out after that?
Aren't you just going to do what Aaron did on the way to the competition, eat 1,000 grams of carbohydrates 3 days in a row?
10 pounds of
just
sweet potatoes?
Pound some wine. I'm basically just going to just party it up after I make weight.
You're going out with us Thursday night, is that what you're saying?
Well, what I've done, this diet, I've gotten great results this whole diet. Basically, I've eaten the same foods, just different amounts of the foods, Carl. But, it worked out to where I was eating about 200 grams of carbs a day. And then I was eating fats at my last couple meals with no carbs. And what I've done now at the end is what I did was I added some extra cardio. And these last few days, just to really, really suffer the last bit of fat out, I've gone down to just protein and vegetables. So that's pretty rough, especially when your body fat is already that low.
What do you think your body fat is right now?
I guess if you did a skinfold test to me with calipers, I would imagine it would be hard to get a number over 4%.
Dude, your chest looks like Paul Dillette's chest.
Yeah, I have weird veins everywhere. Oh, the Palumbo veins, I call them.
Oh, is that Palumbo veins? Okay, yeah. I mean, I that picture, you actually there's a picture where you're doing most muscular, and it looks like you even went to the grainier photo setting on like to make it even more severe looking. But
yeah, it's
dude.
Pretty cool.
I mean,
on Facebook, Carl, the Hulk, he was just mentioning it to us. I was telling PJ, or maybe I posted on the board, that the Hulk has never been so grainy.
Yeah, really. Lou never looked like that. Dude, man, you look insane. You really do.
Thank you. This is the best I've ever looked. I'm seeing now today, now that I'm really, really empty, that I'm losing my impressiveness now. So this is the key for me. Is to, not really get any lower than this weight, make sure I make my way into this weight, and then get myself to come back out.
So Aaron asked the question, and I'm curious too, what do you do to come back out? What's your regimen going to be?
Well, I've been tossing around a number of different ideas in my head from the beginning. I'm pretty sure about what I'm going to do. It may, of course, vary depending on what I weigh each day. Because the thing about bodybuilding is, although you can have a plan that you believe is set in stone, things happen, things change. I might retain water from the flight tomorrow. I might lose more weight than I expected. So things are possibly going to change. But what I'm assuming is going to happen is this. Tomorrow I'm going to wake up a little lighter than I was today, I'm assuming, and I am going to start my carb loading process. Now, when I start my carb loading process, I lower my protein dramatically. At that point, you're not working out anymore. You really don't need protein to preserve muscle. It's just simply a filler, really, at that point to keep your metabolism going. So although I'm going to be adding excess carbs, the calories really aren't going to be all that much different because I'm going to go from 10, 12-ounce portions of protein to 4-ounce portions of protein.
Right.
So what usually happens to me when I do this the first day is it stimulates my metabolism quite a bit where I actually drop some weight. And I'll be drier and harder, and I'll actually be lighter. So I'm assuming that doing this tomorrow, and I'm going to be, I'm not going to be overly aggressive, but I'll be fairly aggressive where I'll probably eat 50 to 60 grams of carbs per meal tomorrow throughout the day. It's going to be a long day with the flight and everything. I'm assuming that I'm going to be a little lighter on Thursday. And Thursday I'm going to probably take a similar approach. The thing is, I'm probably going to have to cut my water out because, like as I said, I'm 225 in the morning, but I need to be 225 at night. Now, I'm not a bodybuilder who holds a tremendous amount of water. My weight usually only fluctuates 4 to 5 pounds a day from morning till night,
right,
where some guys my size will go up 10 pounds. It's crazy. So what I'll probably do is, depending on what I weigh that morning, the food intake will be similar. It'll possibly a little bit more, possibly be a little bit less, depending on what I weigh. And the water will be what I have to watch. And most likely, I'll have to cut the water out for the day, make the weight. And once I make the weight, what I'm going to do is to really kickstart everything, because then I need to really focus on loading myself back up. Is I think a lot of guys make the mistake of just going overboard with pure carbs. And they don't get the results they want. And I've talked to a lot of different guys out there and picked different people's brains. Different people will tell you different things. But I think that what needs to be done at that point, especially when you're really dehydrated and flat, is I think that you need to replace some sodium and some saturated fat. So what I'm going to probably do when I weigh in is get some kind of meal that involves protein, sodium, saturated fat, and carbs.
Sounds like sounds like a Whopper to me.
Yeah, well, the typical a typical thing would be like a burger and fries, for instance. I know Palumbo does a lot of burger and fries with his people. I've done it with some of my clients before. I've actually done it with a couple of my clients this year, and it's been successful. I've actually never done it myself in the past.
Eddie Robinson came on Supreme Radio 4 years ago and talked about that. That's what he did right after making weight. He went out and got Whoppers and started eating them.
Yeah, and if you're very dry and if you're very depleted, this will help you. See, the common mistake that people say is, oh, I spilled over. Really, when you are spilled over, you just weren't in shape. You know, if you were super, super dry and you were just dead, sucked down, and you start filling yourself back out, what should happen is you should just really just start filling out over the next period of time. And I could tell you that during my diet, I had cheat Sundays where I loaded myself up with food. And to be honest with you, by the end of the day, I was heavier, but I really wasn't spilled over in any way. I still looked really good. Uh-huh. It wasn't until the next day when I started, like, you know, drinking tons and tons of fluids that I started looking a little bit watery by the next evening. But I would only go up, you know, 4 or 5 pounds from eating, you know, dramatic amounts of foods on those Sundays. So, you know, a lot of guys are nervous to do something like that. And I had been nervous in the past. I had taken a more conservative approach and maybe just done like a steak and a potato. But, you know, if you're super, super depleted like that, you just need to really, really get that in you. And then I think from there I can go back to my regular, you know, carb up protocol, which is going to be basically, you know, just potatoes. I like cream of rice, and I like Ezekiel bread a lot as well. That's what I've done my whole diet, so I don't see any reason to change it now. And when I feel if I'm not filling out the right way, I'll add some saturated fats from either red meat or even peanut butter.
Huh. Interesting.
Are you packing all this stuff with you for the flight tomorrow, or are you buying it there?
Nope, I'm packing it all. What I do is I cook basically a ton of chicken and potatoes, and I freeze everything, and then I put it in a suitcase, and I just throw it on the plane. They can do whatever they want with it. And then when I get there, you know, everything's frozen, so, you know, you don't have to worry about it going bad. And then I'll have it with me for the whole weekend. And I know the host hotel is probably not going to have a fridge, so I'll have to deal with getting ice and stuff like that. But, you know, it's easy to travel with, like, chicken and a potato versus, like, fish.
Where will you get the Ezekiel bread and all that to just go shopping in Atlanta?
I have it all here already. It'll all be in my suitcase.
PJ, wow. Before the show, you and I were talking about there's a picture of your glutes. I mean, from the side, your glutes, your hams, your quads, unbelievable. I mean, it's just insane. And you said something about that. You said from the back it doesn't look the same, huh?
It's good from the back. My glutes are great. You know, this year they've come up so much. I for whatever reason.
Hey, PJ, can you hear me? You're breaking up really, really bad. I don't know if
it's... Yeah, I can hear you. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Can you move or something?
Or his home phone or cell phone call?
Oh, he's on his home phone, I guess. Maybe
he's on his home phone.
Is that a cordless?
Yes, it is.
Can you get closer to the base station for a second?
Yeah.
Let's see if that makes it any better. Can you hear that, Aaron? Can you hear him breaking
up? Yeah.
Okay.
Is it any better now?
Yeah, 1,000%. Okay, so from the back you don't look, I mean, you look insane from the side, but you said from the back you don't
look. My glutes, just for some reason, they're just insanely separated from the side. It's really bizarre. It's something about, you know, that positioning of my leg. Everything comes out. And from the back, you know, they're dry and they're separated. They're not comparable to, like, you know, Mike Libertori's glutes,
right.
You know.
Yeah, looking at that picture Carl's talking about in comparison to your last year's pictures on the stage at Nationals and like, right now, you know, you mean you completely blow that away. So.
Yeah, you guys will see, like, in my back double by, my hamstring development and my inner thigh development has come up tremendously from last year too.
Your hamstring development, especially close to the knee, is insane. It just comes, it's like you have this little narrow spot where the, insertions are behind the knee, and then it just drops down like 4 inches. Boom! The hamstring just comes right down. It's amazing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I have this year I didn't have this last year, but in my back poses, a judge actually showed me a better way to pose my hamstring, where I have this like split that goes from the inside of my knee, like all the way up to my glute. It's just like extra like inner thigh hamstring development that I didn't have last year, and the split is really deep, so. As long as I pose it right, it'll be pretty.
I mean, you're dry. Your lower back is just, I mean, shredded. Everything. I mean, you look amazing in these pictures here. Really, really good.
Thank you. Yeah, it's going to be fun to see the changes each day because it's only going to get better now.
Yeah, and the separation between your pecs is so sharp. It's like looks like somebody just took a razor and just cut a slice in the front of your chest.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, my chest has always been one of my better body parts as far as like separation and everything. You know, I pretty much stick to the same stuff. Year in, year out with my chest and stuff like that. But, you know, this year the priority was really, you know, mostly like back and hamstrings and, you know, keep on bringing my legs up as much as I can. I think the deep tissue work that I did all year this year made a big difference as well.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I know you're excited about Nationals. I'm very excited too. So,
are you going, Aaron?
Yeah, I'm going. I leave Thursday morning.
Now, are you covering the show for Heavy Muscle Radio?
I guess I'm covering. I mean, I'm covering it for RX Muscle.
Okay, for RX Muscle,
not specifically Heavy Muscle Radio. But okay, yeah. I'll be up there in the front row, rooting PJ on. He'll be hearing me yell.
So
I don't usually yell for anybody, PJ, but I'm going to yell for you, man.
So PJ, if you get your pro card, will you go out and get hammered and drink until you end up in the emergency room?
No, definitely no drinking. I'll definitely indulge in some really good food, though.
Yeah, what would you break your fast with? What would you break your diet with? What food would you go out and get?
I don't know. It's funny. Everybody always asks me that, and I never really know. It's kind of just going to be like what happens after the show. I mean, you know, burger's always good. Pizza's always good. I actually can't go too crazy because I'm already signed to shoot with Muscle Mag on Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah.
And depending on what happens at the show, I mean, I'm maybe turning them down to shoot the cover of Flex Magazine, you know, so I have to, you know, make sure that I don't go too crazy afterwards to make sure I maintain that.
Last year, what did you do? You had to set a hamburger?
Yeah, I did. I did a burger and fries, and I did a piece of cheesecake, which was a tremendous mistake. And I actually knew it was going to be a mistake.
Why?
And
why was that a mistake?
Because I hadn't had dairy in so long. It caused me a tremendous stomach discomfort.
Did you end up crapping your brains out after that, or what?
I wished that's what I did. It was the opposite, actually.
Oh no, you threw up.
No, it just laid there.
Yeah,
I couldn't go to the bathroom for much longer than.
Dude, that's terrible, man.
Yeah, my stomach was just felt like there was a knife in it.
Well, was Aaron there at that time when this happened? Because he could have came in and helped separate your glutes from behind.
We're close friends.
Not that close. Wow, I'm excited for you, PJ, man. You're breaking some new ground with what you're doing here with your body. I mean, especially, you know, this is something that Kevin English was famous for, coming in and dropping all that weight and then putting it back on and stepping on stage bigger than anybody else in that class. And you're probably going to do that this year.
Yeah, and one thing that I wanted to comment on, and this is actually what Evan said to me the other day, and you know, he in a conversation, he told me, he said, I just want to tell you, you know, that I'm really proud of you because you did this 100% yourself this year, and no one really does that. You know, no one does it on their own. Everyone does it.
PJ, hold it. Your phone is breaking up again. No one really does that. What else did he say?
He said, everybody has a guru. Everybody works with somebody that tells them what to do, and you had the balls to just go and just do it all yourself. And, you know, I told him, you know, number one, that meant, you know, obviously means a lot to me coming from him. He's my good friend. I respect him a lot. But, you know, what it all comes down to is that I believe in my plan, you know, and when you believe in something, it's easy to follow it. You know,
that's what it really means. You have the courage of your convictions, because a lot of people start second guessing. Aaron, I think you can speak to that, because you were following your plan and then you started second guessing, and that's where you went wrong when you started doing what other people were telling you, right?
I don't know. I think I fucked myself up, but So I don't know, Carl. I might not be a good example.
Okay, but it's you have to have the courage of your convictions to stick to your guns, and you did that. And I'm sure there were moments in time where you thought, "Wow, I don't know if this is going to work, and should I switch? Should I do this? Should I do that?" But you just stuck to it.
Well, actually, there was never a time where I thought that.
Oh, fuck, PJ. Come on, man. You're supposed to be, nah, you're right.
No, I truly believed from the start, from everything that I learned over the years, and primarily what I learned last year, I believed that I had, you know, a game plan that was going to be highly effective as long as I stick to it and trust my body and paid attention to my body. And one thing about me is I've become very instinctive, where a lot of people will wait a week to hear what their coach has to say, you know.
Right.
And if I felt something wasn't going the way I wanted it to, I would switch it right away. And if I felt things were going good, I wouldn't be afraid to just keep sticking with it, you know.
Right. Now, have you been working this whole time too, seeing clients and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, this year, and I'm definitely not complaining about it. My business is the best it's ever been. And I have to say that made this a lot harder. You know, I would love to be able to just work less and just focus more on my bodybuilding. You know, I'd always work no matter what, but with my schedule running around as much as I do, it was a very draining process by the end.
You have any other questions?
No, Carl, I thought we would do that. That's a pretty good, quick update.
Now you usually have predictions, Aaron. Do you know who he's competing against?
Yes, I do. The big competitors, the big in his class, the favorites are, like you said, Juan Morell and Fred Biggie Smalls. And I said on Heavy Muscle Radio, actually, this week, did you get to listen to the beginning of Heavy Muscle Radio?
Me?
PJ?
Oh. Yeah. No, PJ. PJ, did you listen to the beginning of Heavy Muscle Radio?
No, I didn't.
Not yet. Well, then I'll let you know here. I did predict PJ Braun to win the heavyweight class.
Oh, dude. You know what? And that is so smart of you, because you can't afford to lose any more fucking friends. Jose's gone now. If you lose PJ, I mean, you fucking talk bad about PJ, you lose him too.
If I predict him in second place, that would be it. I'd never hear from him.
You never hear from him again. And you'd get, what you would do is twice a year you'd get little packages from fucking from the cat, little turds from from Piglet. You'd get
for Hanukkah and for my birthday.
There you go, little turds. All right. Well, listen. You know what? I don't think you need luck, PJ, because you are a consummate professional, and you're going to do things that people. I know that there's naysayers. I'm not saying any names. That said, that you couldn't do what you're doing, and you're fucking doing it, and fuck them. That's what I say.
Exactly.
That's what I say. Fuck them, and they're fuck them. Like we say in Brooklyn, fuck them where they breathe. So, okay. All right. Well, listen, man. Great luck. Great luck. I wish I could be there to see you, because I know you're going to win. I know.
Thank you very much.
And I wish I could be there.
It.
Anything else, Aaron, before we go into the break?
That's good, Carl.
Okay, so
thank
those
you,
of you,
PJ, thank you for coming.
Those of you who are not rooting for PJ, cancer, I say, cancer, you should all get.
I just want to say thanks to all the people on the boards and on Facebook who have been overly supportive, and all my friends and family, and you know, my sponsor, Species, of course. Like, you know, I have a lot of really good people in my corner. You know.
Yeah. Cool, man.
We'll definitely have to have PJ right back on after he wins his program.
There you go. You got to come back on, okay?
Okay, no problem.
All right, thanks a lot. Stay tuned.
Thanks,
we'll be
guys.
Right back with more Off Topic Radio. Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there is no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormonal optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging is included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingemanFitness@hotmail.com.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from Bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at Bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking, and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Still a whisper on my lips.
Welcome back to Off Topic. Aaron, you want to introduce our next guest?
Yes, of course. Our next guest is the former co-host of Muscle Girls, Inc., just recently on the Olympia stage for the second time, and about to be at the Houston Pro Show in a week. Our next guest is Chrissy Chin.
How you doing, Chrissy?
You there?
Yes, I'm here. Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good, good. Carl, you know Chrissy?
I've heard her on the radio. I've seen pictures of her.
You know her husband, Troy, right?
Yes, I know Troy. I know Troy from when he was over at ALR, and now again, we just saw him at the Olympia.
Right, well, Chrissy worked for ALR, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Cool. And, so what's going on? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Counting down the days to fly out to Houston, so
yeah.
Things are getting a little tighter.
Yeah, we're going to get to hang out some in Houston. Tell us, Chrissy, let's just start off with saying, you know, this was your second time at the Olympia. How do you think it went?
Overall, it was, you know, I tell everyone my first Olympia experience was just amazing. You know, just stepping on that stage, you know, because when I first started and I went to my first Olympia back in 2003, I just remember seeing everyone up there and I just looked up. I probably had like stars in my eyes and just were like, wow, these people are incredible, amazing. And, you know, for me to actually step on that stage was, you know, like, you know, people say it's like a dream come true, which it really was. And, you know, this Olympia, it's the best I've ever looked. And, you know, I'm just humbled, honored, and blessed to have made it there, you know, but I couldn't have done it without, you know, my support team. You know, I have a lot of people to thank. You know, Gaspari Nutrition, one of my sponsors, Protan sponsors me, my husband, my coach, trainer, Kimoto, who's been amazing. Ever since I started working with him, it's been a whirlwind. So a lot of people to thank and great family and friends.
Hey, Chrissy, did you hear that the Houston Pro Show only has 3 girls signed up, contracts in right now?
Oh, now it's 5. Now it is up to 5.
Now it's 5.
Well, now it's getting stiffer.
Yeah, the competition's getting stiffer. I know your goal is just to qualify. This is a great chance for you to win your first pro show. Not because of the 5 girls, but this is a perfect show for you to do. What do you think? Why do you think there's so few girls signed up for this show?
You know, I honestly don't know because I've done the Houston Pro since 2007, which was my first pro show, and I've done it every year. and it is such a well-run show. Like, Lee Thompson and Stacey do a fabulous job, and you've been to their shows before. You know, everything runs smoothly. It's at a great place. You know, everything is top-notch for the athletes. So I'm really surprised the numbers are so low. I don't know if it's because so many people were competing, trying to qualify for the Olympia, and now, you know, it's after Olympia, and I don't know if people are just tired or it's, you know, financial, you know, concern or
It's shocking. Last year, I was there and I was covering the show for Arg's Muscle, and there had to be at least 20 girls, 25 girls.
Yeah,
right?
We had a number last year. Yeah, there was a number of us last year. Yeah, about 20.
Aaron Stern was there. You were. I mean, there was a lot of girls there.
Yeah, it was a big turnout.
So I don't know.
You know, I think
it's pretty crazy. I remember going, and so hopefully more girls will sign up, but. I just thought I'd mention that to you. So you got at the very worst, you got a 1 out of 5 shot right now.
That's not bad. Those odds are pretty darn good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You know what surprises me, Chrissy, is that a lot of the girls that did the Olympia that didn't qualify wouldn't want to just diet a few more weeks. It's just 3 more weeks or 4 more weeks and try to requalify early.
I know. That's what really surprises me, too. Because it's so close, like you said, to Olympia, it's just a few more weeks. Like, just to stay on the diet and training, just a few more weeks, just to try to get it done. I just find that it's a lot less stressful to qualify early than, you know, waiting until next season, 2011, and trying to, you know, qualify in one of the shows, like, right before Olympia.
I think that's a lot higher then.
Yeah, well, so I don't, you know, I think the numbers will definitely come up, and, you know, hopefully, especially since, you know, proceeds are going to a great cause, you know, fighting breast cancer, so I'm hoping more people do jump in.
Right.
Aaron, are you rubbing the microphone on your beard?
No, I'm not rubbing the microphone on anything.
Well, are you rubbing it on some other part of your body? It sounds like you're rubbing the microphone on something, man.
Chrissy is very attractive.
Is it above or below the waistline?
Yeah, okay. I'm sure that's...
Carl, is my webcam on or something?
Why did I just see? No, because it sounds like this. Well, I can't do it with my microphone, but because I have a windsock on it. But it sounds like you're rubbing your microphone on your beard or something.
No.
It sounds like you're rubbing it on something.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, Chrissy, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is we were talking to Troy, and I didn't know your whole story. You have a very interesting story. You know, you went through a lot of stuff in your life to get to where you are now, and so. I wanted to start us off with your story in Carl's favorite place, where you were born and raised in Brooklyn.
No kidding.
Yes.
What part of Brooklyn?
Yeah. I grew up on Flushing Avenue. Do you know where that is?
Yeah, Flushing and what?
Right off the LIE.
Oh, wow.
I know the address. It's 1039 Flushing Avenue. So I still have family out there, actually, but I lived in Brooklyn for about only 5 years before I moved to Queens.
What part of Queens?
And then we moved out.
What part of Queens?
I lived in Fresh Meadows.
Oh, that's a nice area, Fresh Meadows. That's not
So I lived in Fresh Meadows for a bit, and then 7th grade-ish, we moved out to Long Island. So
yeah. I was going to ask you what part of Long Island, but I don't know enough of the island to act like as though.
I told Chrissy that you'd be very interested in the fact that she's from. She was born in Brooklyn and Queens.
It's a great. Yeah, I mean, I made the Brooklyn Queens transition, and then from there I went to Vegas. So I didn't get out to Long Island too much.
Do you miss New York? I miss New York.
I do. As a matter of fact, I was just talking to this subject to Ms. X. That
Ms. X is his girlfriend, Chrissy. That he won't reveal her identity as a secret, so we call her Ms. X.
And we were just talking about the best place in the world to be at Christmas time is Manhattan. I mean, New York is the best place for Christmas. So,
are you planning on bringing her there for Christmas?
I think I would like to, because I have a lot of family in New York too. I'd love to go visit them. I'd like to bring.
Are you going
to
fly first class?
No, I'll fly her first class. I'll sit in the back.
You probably will.
You know, those damn Louboutin shoes are expensive, cause I got to save money somewhere.
Yeah, you're crazy. This is a guy who is always claiming poverty, but he'll spend anything on his lady love, right, Carl?
That's the way life works, brother.
you're a kind of swell guy.
Yeah.
I like your style.
Yeah.
I'm sure she thinks so.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
Actually, I might head out to New York, too, for the holidays. I have a new nephew that I need to visit, so I might bump into you in the city.
That'll be cool. So anyway, so you started out, you were born in Brooklyn, right?
Mm-hmm.
And and you stayed there till you were 5 years old, and you went to Queens, and then from Queens to Long Island. So when did you actually leave New York?
I left New York back in 2001.
Yeah, we're jumping way ahead, Carl. Let me ask Christy. First of all, tell us you're of Chinese descent, correct?
Yes, 100% Chinese.
Tell us about that, about your folks and stuff.
Okay, well, my mom was born and raised in New York. My dad was born in Hong Kong, but he came over when he was like 3. So my parents were very Americanized. So I grew up in a very non-traditional, you know, Asian cultured home, let's say. So, you know, we always spoke English, rarely spoke Chinese, didn't follow like the typical traditional Chinese, you know, protocols with the holidays and stuff like that. And very close to my parents, and you probably, well, now you know that I had lost both of them to cancer, so.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
It was a very traumatic time in my life, and
when did you lose them both close in time, or did your mom go first, or how did that go?
Yeah, well, what happened was, I was in high school, and my mom got diagnosed with ovarian cancer, but, you know, they didn't tell us right away. Like, they sort of kept it for my brother and I, because I have a younger brother. And, you know, the plans were that I was going to go off to school, University of Maryland, start studying physical therapy. So I was like, wow, should I really leave now that mom is sick with cancer? And, you know, I was so young at the time, and I didn't really know too much about it and how severe an illness it was, you know.
Right.
And, you know, my parents were like, you know, to them, they just always wanted the best for my brother and I. You know, whatever they can do, you know, we didn't have much growing up, but whatever money they did make, it always went towards my brother and I, you know. So they're like, you know what, you know, you got into school, you know, and we're so happy when you do well. We just want you to, you know, go off to Maryland. That's the plan, you know. That's what you wanted. So I had gone off to school, and I would come back, you know, it wasn't too far of a drive, so, you know, I'd go back and forth, you know, during the weekends and whenever I had time down from school where I knew I could take a break and just head home to see how my mom was doing. But each time I would know, you know, I would see her, and I can tell that her condition was definitely getting worse.
Right.
And, you know, she was getting frailer each time I saw her, and, you know, she was undergoing chemotherapy, and, you know, she's having tremendous, terrible, terrible side effects, you know, loss of hair, you know, she lost her taste buds, you know, she was just getting so thin. And
she develop any heart problems from the chemo?
No heart problems. Hmm. No, the biggest things with her is that the loss of hair, the loss of, you know, taste of food, and she was vomiting a lot.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she got so frail that she was probably, I would say, 80-something pounds by the time she passed. But, you know, her condition just kept getting worse to a point where, you know, one phone call, my dad was like, you know, mom's getting really bad, and I think you might want to think about coming home from school. And, you know, that's all he had to say, and I decided to put school on hold for a bit after a year and a half at Maryland, and came home, and I just tried to find work as a personal trainer and just trying to help pay the bills and take care of my mom, because we didn't want to put her in a hospital or a nursing home or any type of facility. You know, we just wanted her to be comfortable in her home. And, you know, my dad basically cared for her, and my brother and I would help as much as we could, you know.
Right.
And then she passed in 1994. So I think, the hardest part was seeing a full-time mother who did everything for her family and worked full-time and healthy, always full of energy, always so happy, to get to a point where, you know, she's frail, hardly able to ambulate, where you're bathing her, helping her, you know, feed her, clean her, and do everything. And, you know, I'll never forget the day she passed, because, you know, I held her while she took her last breath, so it was pretty impactful on me as an individual, especially as still kind of young at the time, you know, about 20 when she passed. So,
you said to me, Chrissy, that seeing, I don't know if you, it was your seeing, I guess you said it was seeing, being there in that circumstance with your mother passing away like that, that, that changed your life, dramatically, that that moment changed your life.
Yeah, I would, you know, at the time when it's happening, you're just in shock, you know, but now that I'm older and I, you know, I look back and it still feels like so fresh and even just talking about it, you know, it definitely has changed me as a person. It definitely has made me realize how fragile life is and how never should take things for granted. Never take people that you love for granted. You know, just be thankful for everything you have. And, you know, just live life to its fullest. You know, we have one life to live. And, you know, if you can help people, help them. If you can be a positive influence or inspiration to people, do it. You know?
Absolutely.
So it definitely made me stronger, you know, stronger, more independent, more ambitious, you know, definitely a bigger heart and more open to things now.
Do you find, so, do you find when you're competing that you look to your mom for strength sometimes?
You know, I think during competition time and prep mode, you know, just because you're taxing your body, you're taxing your, everything is taxed.
Yeah, and emotionally, you're drawn, you know.
Yeah, and you know, I always think of my parents like on an everyday basis, but I think during contest time and when things are really being pushed to the limits, I think of them more, you know, because they've definitely given me the strength and I know they're watching me every day and I just want to make them proud, so they help definitely.
Do you think that they, I mean, obviously, do you think that they would be proud of what you're doing today, of all of the people, you know, of competing and how well you're doing?
I think so. I think if they saw me the way I look now, they'd be like, well, I was always athletic growing up, and I was always like, you know, a 3 varsity athlete in high school, so they knew I was probably going the athletic route in some degree. You know, but, you know, my parents always wanted whatever I wanted from me. So they would be, I know they're happy and I know they're proud because I'm happy doing what I'm doing right now. And, you know, I tell everyone as long as, even if I inspire one person out there, male, female, teenager, someone in their 40s, 50s, then I'm happy. You know, if I can affect someone's life in a positive way like that, then I've done well.
Well, Chrissy, take us from when your mom passed away. What happened next?
Okay. When my mom passed, I decided there's no way that I'm going to go back to Maryland and leave my dad because he's definitely hit a severe state of depression. Yeah. And, you know, at the time, you know, like I said, you know, back then when you're in it, you're just in shock. You don't really, you can't really comprehend everything and you have so much emotions and you're grieving and, you know, I had to be the strong one in the family. So, you know, I was calling everyone, letting them know what happened, making the funeral arrangements.
Do you have any siblings, Chrissy? Do you have any siblings?
One younger brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's 3 years younger than me. So he was, what, a little teenager?
Right.
You know, 16 or so when this all happened. So, you know, there was no way I was leaving my younger brother or my dad at the time. So I decided to look into schools, you know, in New York. So one of my father's friends had said, oh, you should go to Touro College. You know, they have a law school, but they also have a school of health, you know, health sciences where they do pre-med, physical therapy, occupational therapy. And I was like, really? You know, so I looked into it, and I was like, wow, it's a, you know, small private institution. They take 50 PT students a year. And I go, well, it's worth a shot. So, you know, I applied and got in. And I ended up, you know, finishing my schooling there, getting my bachelor's in health sciences and my master's in PT there.
Cool.
And you did all that while your father was still healthy?
My father actually got sick while I was in school. So what happened with my dad was he was misdiagnosed a number of times by doctors and, you know, he's having severe cough, and he just has tremendous low back pain. So every time we took him to the doctor, they're like, oh, you just pulled your back. You know, you're lifting boxes as we had moved at the time. And they're like, oh, just take these pain meds. And they would just give him script after script after script and just, you know, say, don't worry, just take that. And then, you know, one day I remember I just hear my dad screaming in the other room for me, and I was like, why is dad screaming, you know? So I walked into his room, and he's just laying there. He's like, I can't move my legs, I can't get up. So right away I'm like, oh, geez. You know, I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to do. I was like, okay, at the time we were renting the second floor. So I'm like, how do I carry my dad, basically dead weight, down a flight of stairs that are kind of steep? Might not be the safest thing to do. So, you know, I called 911, and they took him to the hospital close by where we were living at the time on Long Island. And the doctors came out. They're like, well, your dad wants to talk to you, you know. And they didn't really want to tell me much at first. So and I was like, okay. So I just remember walking into the room where my dad was, and he was laying on, you know, a cold table. And I just felt this chill just go up and down inside me. And I was just like, this is not going to be good. I just knew it was not good news. And my dad looked at me, and he's like, well, they found a tumor pressing on my spine. So we have a choice. He's like, you know, we could either operate and try to take this, you know, tumor out, and then I might have a chance to walk again. He goes, well, we can leave it and then try to rehab and see if I can get, you know, sensation, movement back into my legs, you know. And I was still beginning into PT school, so I knew some things. I didn't know everything that I know today. So I was like, well, Dad, I go, I think that we should just take the chance and go in for surgery just to get the tumor out, because obviously it should not be in there. And if it gets bigger, it's definitely going to put more compression on your spinal cord, which is definitely not going to be good. So maybe we should take that chance. And I just remember seeing my dad cry. I was like, wow. See your dad cry, you know?
Yeah, that's tough.
So he's like, whatever happens, he goes, you'll always find, you'll find someone else that will love you and take care of you. And that's all I remember him saying before surgery. And then he went in for surgery.
Did he not make it for surgery, through the surgery?
He did make it through the surgery, but when he came out, the doctors had informed me that it was a cancerous tumor, and you know, that he was, you know, he was misdiagnosed so for so long that it turns out he had metastatic cancer, and he had cancer in his brain, in his liver, in his lungs, in addition to the tumor they removed. So they said the prognosis was very poor, and he had less than 6 months to live.
So this whole time they were misdiagnosing it with back pain and everything else, and the whole time it was cancer and it was growing, huh?
Yeah, because, you know, if you don't have really good health insurance and you don't have any health insurance, sometimes you're kind of pushed away, shoved on the carpet.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just being honest, you know?
Absolutely.
And I think my dad had fell into that at the time. And, you know, I just feel awful because what I know now, I would have pushed the issue when the doctors turned him away and said, do this, you know? But at the time, I just didn't know. You know, I just didn't know better. And you just, you know, when you don't know, you listen to what the people in the white lab coats tell you that are doctors, you know. You just believe, you know, they're trained, they're licensed, so you believe what they tell you. So we, you know, we listen to them.
Ever think that maybe your parents both came in contact with some sort of toxin in their lives that that may have predisposed both of them to cancer?
You know, it's very odd. I thought about that, and I was like, ooh, maybe it was something where we lived in Brooklyn, because, you know, my grandparents had a laundromat, and there was a lot of, you know, there's chemicals, there's
yeah.
stuff going on. And,
right,
you know,
the dry cleaning fluids, maybe,
yeah.
like Perk and stuff like that, right.
So I was like, maybe that. But then, you know, we have my aunts, uncles, cousins that
right.
all lived in the same building, but no one ever got diagnosed, and no one's still diagnosed with cancer to this day, just my parents.
I mean, it had, like, I'm thinking something that they did together. I mean, I'm not saying like their honeymoon, but I mean, I'm thinking something
yeah.
that they came in contact with together at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just interesting,
yeah,
you know, that they both
yeah.
ended up succumbing to cancer.
Right. And within a few years of each other.
Right.
Yeah.
And he probably had cancer quite a bit. I mean, quite a bit earlier than you finally found out about it, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cause it sounded like he was in late stage cancer when you found out, right?
Yeah, it was, stage 4 by the time, you know, he was correctly diagnosed when he came out of that surgery and they told us. So, you know, it's a lot of what if, what it could be, you know, you just, you know, we don't know.
All right. So the whole time this was going on, you were in school and were you working? I mean, what other stuff were you, I mean,
dealing with? I was in school full time in grad school and, you know, my dad, he came home from the hospital and we had hospice care at home and, you know, like we did with my mom, we didn't want to put my dad in a facility. We just wanted him to be comfortable in his own home. So we had a hospice nurse during the day and I would go to school, you know, during the day. He didn't want me to stop grad school, you know, and even the nurse was like, when your dad talks about you, he just gets this shine in his eyes and, you know, you're doing so well in school, you're kicking ass, you know, taking names. So he's like, she's like, keep doing what you're doing, you know. And I, you know, I told my dad, I was like, don't worry, I'm going to do really well and I'm making a promise now. You know, I promise you and mom, I'll graduate the top of the class. Don't you worry, you know. So I was going through school the whole time and I only missed one day of grad school and that was for my dad's funeral because he passed while I was in grad school. But I did graduate top of my class, valedictorian, and I had the highest GPA ever in school's history of any major. So
really?
Proud of myself. Yes.
So what was your GPA?
3.972 on a 4.0.
Wow. Very impressive.
I know Troy told me he was going through your stuff or you were moving and he found some plaque to recognize you for this.
So, you still got the plaque? The dean just came over and she's like, I just want to say, I have to commend you, you know, at graduation. She's like, not only valedictorian, she's like, you've had the highest GPA of any major in our school's history. And I'm like, really? She's like, yes. And I was like, wow.
Very cool.
I just got a little, you know, my heart just melted a little bit because I was like, I knew my parents were happy, so I was happy.
Mm-hmm. Troy keeps texting me. He's telling me that you had a full ride to Maryland for basketball and that you should be talking about that.
He's such a mess.
You had a scholarship? You had a basketball scholarship?
See, this is the thing. My husband's kind of a mess and he likes to, like, you know, brag a lot, you know, but I was being scouted by schools during high school because I was, like, going to all-star camps because, you know, I played varsity basketball and, you know, I got county honors. I was shooting guard. I did very well. I was, you know, captain for a few years. And so schools were scouting me, but I decided to not pursue that route when I went to Maryland, and I chose the sorority route. Why, I don't know. Maybe because it was the fact that, I don't know, that I just wanted a party, and knowing that my mom was sick, that option just seemed right at the time.
Right.
So, yeah.
But you did. You had a full scholarship if you wanted to play basketball.
Not for Maryland. Other schools were courting at the time.
Which other schools?
Yeah. Ithaca, which they had a PT.
Oh, yeah. Upstate New York. That would have been nice and cold.
Yeah. And then I know it's a little bit too cold. And then there's another small school in New York, but I didn't follow through with it. They sent me letters and stuff.
How tall are you?
I am just under 5'4".
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing that you, I mean, I guess. I don't know anything about sports, so I would immediately assume that a basketball scholarship would require some height. But obviously, you were a good enough athlete to.
She's a shooting guard, girl, so they're smaller.
Yeah, and I don't even know what a shooting guard is. I'm like a chick when it comes to sports.
not like Chrissy. She's a chick.
I'm the chick, but not like Chrissy. I'm a chick, a different chick than Chrissy. I don't know what a shooting.
You're a girly girl.
If somebody said a shooting guard, I would think that would be something that goes over a handgun to keep the. The blast from hitting my hand while I'm shooting it, you know, the shooting guard.
No, a shooting guard is when you take a shot, it goes swish, you know, all net.
Yeah, maybe. That's the guard. Okay, yeah. Okay, make fun of me. That's fine. Everybody else does, so don't worry about it.
It's all in good fun.
Yeah. I have a good sense of humor. I'm fine. Anyway, so do you feel that these types of challenges in your life somehow shaped your character and who you are today? Do you feel that, you know, no one wants to lose parents, but it's got to be the most, that's got to be the most traumatic thing in life, to lose your parents, especially at a young age when there's still time for them to give you, teach you, and so on and so forth. Do you feel that did it make your life harder, first of all, when they were gone?
You know, to answer your first question, without a doubt, it's definitely defined my character as an individual. Was it hard? Definitely, just because my parents were so close to me, and I loved them dearly, and I just am thankful that I did have them the time that I did here physically with me, and, you know, the fact that, you know, I grew up in such a loving household, and I had such a great childhood with them, and, you know, so losing them was definitely hard, but it's definitely made me a lot stronger, more independent, because I was kind of forced to stand on my own 2 feet, you know, and take care of myself and to, you know, be successful. You know, I didn't have them there to help me anymore. You know, I had to do it.
Yeah.
You know.
So when you graduated and you finished school for PT, where did you go? Did you go straight to work, or what happened next?
Yeah, I was actually really fortunate, and, you know, I had job offers waiting for me that, you know, places that I interned during school, we had to do clinicals. So one of the hospitals that offered me a job was Mount Sinai, New York City. And, you know, at first I didn't want to take the job just because I was like, I kind of want a break from New York, you know, after losing my parents. I was like, maybe I just need a clean break, you know, a new start, somewhere fresh, you know. And everyone that I graduated with, they're like, Chrissy, you're crazy. They go, it's Mount Sinai, New York City, one of the top hospitals. Some of us can't even find a job yet. What are you, nuts? You know, and I was like, well, I guess you're right. You know, so I decided to take the job, and I'm really thankful that I did. You know, I worked there for a little over a year, but the experience I gained at that hospital, because it's a great teaching facility, and they had one physical therapist per unit of, you know, the hospital. So, you know, and it was on a rotation basis. So I got exposed to oncology, you know, orthopedics, spinal cord injury, traumatic brain injury, neurology, GI, like, I got exposure to everything within my first year of school. It was scary at first. This is, I'm like, wow, I'm just a brand new student, and I'm kind of like thrown in this whole unit. It's just me. Like, what if something happens, you know? But it was great just to, you know, be thrown into it, because I think it made me better PT. You know, I was confident in my abilities just because I had a really great, you know, a great, you know, schooling behind me, and, you know, I had great clinicals, so I learned a lot, and it was just an awesome experience. I was very thankful that I did take the job. But I, after working there for about a little over a year, I did move to Florida. I just felt it was time in my life where I just wanted to, just like I said, get that clean start.
Chrissy, let's go to, we have a commercial break. So hold on. We'll be back in just 2 minutes, and we will continue with Florida.
Okay, sounds good.
Don't this hit make my people wanna? 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 Don't this hit make my people wanna?
Act the fool. You better watch out. Hack, be bringing the cops out.
If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormonal optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormonal optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brain...
Welcome back to Off Topic. Our guest this hour is Chrissy Chin, IFBB Pro. And where we left off, Aaron, we left off talking about Florida, right?
Yeah, Chrissy is just moving to Florida.
You like now? Are you still in Florida now, Chrissy?
Well, we still have our home there in Miami, but I'm residing out in California right now.
Oh, yeah. Aaron, what are you doing right now? What did you just do?
I am sitting here. Wait,
did you not move? Did you move your neck, move your head, move your arm, do anything? Tell me.
I have not moved anything.
Okay, because did you hear that, Chrissy? Did you hear it sound like thunder?
Oh, it did.
I mean,
I know you moved there. You did something.
Something happened.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh. It wasn't me. It was you, Carl.
I messaged him last time he did it. I actually had to mute the mic because you were at a very poignant moment in your story. And then I hear this rustling. It sounds like somebody is crumpling brown paper bags in the microphone. And I had to mute the mic so it wouldn't interrupt
you. Why do you say it's from the microphone? Who knows?
I know what it's from. It's definitely from the microphone.
Something. But I'm not moving.
Well, you either turned your head, you did something, and the microphone is rubbing against your face or something. I don't know.
Okay. And I would know if the microphone was rubbing against my face, don't you think?
Well, I guess.
The microphone is rubbing against something.
Yeah,
did you
I would not be aware of that.
Did you have these problems when you used to do the radio show, Chrissy, with microphones and stuff like that?
Yeah, Jeff the producer. Of course not. I've got Carl and Noor.
You know, Colette and I weren't rubbing our microphones on our face or anything like that.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. Maybe you should have. You had more listeners.
Hey,
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Carl, they had Jeff the producer working for them.
Yeah, that's right. Jeff and Def, and when it comes to producing, definitely Jeff is better than I am at that. There's no doubt about it. So,
oh, you're pretty good.
Jeff is pretty good.
Nah, I've never been a producer. Hosting and producing are very different things.
You're the talent, right, Carl?
Exactly. I'm the talent. And Jeff is the guy who makes the talent look good. That's the difference. Yeah.
We like both. I like a really good host, which you guys both are, and I like the person that makes you sound better when you're the host.
So which happens like to be both of us. Well. we do that part too.
See, that's why you guys are so successful. So hats off to you both.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. So let's get back to
Florida. How did you like my jammy? Did you like my jammy?
When I first moved down there, I did. But by the time we left there, I did not. It changed a lot while we were there. So when I first moved down there, I loved it. I was like, wow, it's awesome here. The beaches are beautiful. The people are beautiful. And, you know, I started working down there as a physical therapist, and I had a great job, worked with great doctors. I bought a house down there. So life was good when I first moved down there.
What happened?
Yeah.
what happened was then I got caught in a really bad relationship that, you know, sometimes you get caught in a bad relationship and you stay in it and you just try to, you think about it. You're like, what the hell was I thinking? Why did I stay in that?
22 years.
Oh, did you? All right. So now I don't feel so bad that mine was about 4 years.
Yeah. No, mine wasn't bad the whole 22 years because I feel like I'm one of those easygoing people who will put up with a lot of stuff. But in retrospect, now that I look back at it, I feel like I really wasted a lot of time. Unfortunately, you know, half of my life. I'm 52 and I spent 22 years in a marriage that I probably didn't belong in. So.
See, that's what I feel like. Like when I look back at it, I'm like, you know, it's kind of easygoing about it and I just stayed in it, but it was such a waste of time. And I was like, wow, those 4 years, I could have done so much in those 4 years, but. You know, well, you can't look back. We got to just look forward. You know,
you have an interesting story, Chrissy, about what or who got you out of that relationship. And it also happens to be the same story of how you got into competing and doing fitness modeling. So tell us that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it was a really bad deal, bad relationship. And I was definitely unhappy. So, you know, one day it all started back in 2003. I remember I was just training at LA Fitness and, you know, I was training, but I wasn't competing yet. I didn't know anything about it. And, you know, I was just in the gym working out and this shorter gentleman comes up to me and he's like, hey, he's like, you know, do you have abs? And I was like, have what? And he's like, do you have abs? I'm like stomach abs, you know? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, who is this strange guy come up to me, ask me if I have abs? And I go, well, I guess, you know. So I kind of lifted up my shirt. He goes, oh, gosh, we need to use you. We will need to use you in our ads because I own a supplement company. And it happened to be Jack Owock of VPX.
Oh, wow.
So he's like, you got to come with me. You got to come with me. And I was so naive at the time. I didn't know what was what. So I was like, oh, okay. And, you know, I walked with him across the street, and they had a retail store at the time called Rock Body right across from the LA Fitness. And he's like, I need you to meet somebody. So I was like, okay, you know. And I walk into the store, and then I see this tall blonde guy, this buff blonde guy behind the counter. He's like, oh, this is Troy. And I was like, damn, this guy's pretty hot. I'm like, it looks kind of good, you know. So he's like, Troy, this is Chrissy. He goes, you're going to help her diet down. We're going to get her a photo shoot. She's going to be our model. So I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, that's how I first got my start into modeling.
You know what's really funny? You're not going to believe this. But that is the same. That's the same exact conversation that Jack had with John Romano that got him hired over at VPX. Same. He said he walked up to John and says, "Hey, do you have abs?" And John was like, me, no. And he says, "Lift up your shirt."
Using that line.
And he said, "Look, I'm going to hook you up with some guys and give you abs, and we're going to make you the director of marketing of our company." Oh my God, that is just amazing.
I was going to have you be a model, but we'll do marketing director instead.
Yeah, and the rest and the rest is history. Yep.
Funny.
Yeah, so that's how I first got started into, you know, modeling within the industry.
And that's how you met Troy,
and first met Troy. Yeah, that's how I first met Troy. And, you know, when people say sometimes it's love at first sight, at the time I didn't think so. I just thought this guy's freaking hot. But, you know, now Troy and I are married, and he seriously is the love of my life. He's amazing. So,
you know, I never believed in love at first sight. Actually, when people used to talk about it, I used to think that they were delusional, or you know, they
told
were.
Me this.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that's ridiculous. I mean, you know, it's lust, it's anything, but until I experienced it myself recently, I mean, I never understood what people meant when you meet somebody and you have this immediate deep connection to them, and you can't explain it by the time that you know them, and it's like it's like, oh my God, like what is this about? And I always thought people were flakes when they talked about that.
Exactly. You're like, what? That doesn't exist, you know. But then when that happens, you're like, damn, I guess it does, you know. It does exist. And it's kind of cool. It feels kind of cool. I kind of like it, you know.
So how did you get away from this guy and make it and actually start dating Troy? The guy that you were with for 4 years, I mean.
Well, the funny thing is that, you know, Troy and I became, you know, really good friends. And you know how some people just click and it's just so easy to talk to. And, you know, we became really good friends. And at the time, you know, Troy was coming out of a bad relationship and, you know, I was in that bad relationship. And, you know, there were sparks. Let's not deny it. And I'll tell Troy that. Don't deny it. There were sparks, even though we were both in separate relationships. And then I go to him. I go, you know, I go, let me ask you something. You know, I walked in his office one day, to Troy's office, and I was like, if I wasn't dating someone, would you date me? And he said, yes. I go, okay, I'll be right back. See you in a little bit. You know? So then I left, and then I went home, and I told my boyfriend at the time, I was like, listen, it's over. It's done. I need you out of the house. I want you out of the house. It's done. It's over. So, you know, he didn't take it very well. He got actually quite angry. And
did he get physical?
He like grabbed my arm at one time, but then I yanked him off, and I was like, "Get off me!" And I was like, "I just want you out of my house. You know, the house is mine, and I want you out." And believe it or not, in Florida, they told me to get someone out of the house, even though it was my house. Everything's under my name. That I had to go through the court system and get him legally evicted.
Isn't this insane? How the court system gets involved in stuff that should be so simple, that and they make it so difficult. It's just insane to me that it's like your house. You should be able to ask anyone to leave your house.
Exactly. It's my house. Why should I have to go through the court system?
Because the court system. Because laws are being created every single day that are designed for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to broaden the net. So that more people have to go into court to do things, because that's how they grow their business. The more people that come to court, the more tax dollars they get, the more judges they need, the more prosecutors they need. And that's how they grow their business.
It's a scam.
It is a scam. The judicial system has nothing to do with fairness or laws any longer. It's a business. It's about making money, getting as many people to walk through those turnstiles on a day in and day out basis. It's disgusting. You have to go to court to tell someone who shouldn't be there, because it's your house, that they shouldn't be there. And some judge has to say, okay, well, you have to leave now. It's like, you should be able to say, get out. I'm going to call the cops if you don't get out. And the cops should escort the person out if they don't want to leave.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I was shocked. I was like, what? I go, you're telling me what? What do I have to do? And, you know, the worst thing about it is that, you know, he was so mad and so angry, and he definitely was missing a few nuts, now that I look back at it, you know, in his head. Well, not all there, you know, so it took a few months to get him out. And let me just tell you how bad this got. Okay, well, just picture this. It's in Miami. It gets very hot and humid during the summer months, right?
Right.
So I had to put up hurricane shutters, which are big, heavy metal, like big storm shutters. So I had them put up, like, there was a hurricane alert. So we had put them up on the home. So all the windows are shut, you know, with these storm shutters above them. All the glass sliding doors, like, everything. So, you know, inside, unless you have lights on, it's very dark. Like, he would not leave my home, like, for the 3 to 4 months. So I shut off the water. Because everything is under my name. So just think that. I shut off the water, shut off the electricity, and this guy still would not leave that house.
It's like a cockroach.
With those storm shutters on.
He's like a cockroach.
Exactly.
He's like a cockroach. I mean, the house is dark, and he's going to live underneath the refrigerator if he has to.
He was probably living with candles and flashlights in there.
Yeah. And
imagine how hot it was.
And never mind that, but it's like, if the girl doesn't want you anymore, why do you want to even stay? Like, what are you staying for?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out. I could not get him out. And then it just got to a point where, you know, I called the cops and it just got ugly, and I told them, you know, I need to come out of my house. And we eventually finally got him out. And needless to say, the house was trashed.
And you were with Troy this whole time, right?
It was, yeah. I was staying with Troy.
What did he think of this crazy guy?
What did he say?
This situation. You know, he starts dating you and he's got this ex-boyfriend living in your house, and you can't go there. And he must have thought.
He thought it was crazy. He's like, this guy cannot be living there, because, you know, Troy knew how hot it was, you know, without AC, without electricity, without water, living in that house. I mean, you don't even, you can't even put stuff in the refrigerator. There's no electricity.
Oh, you must have been totally
Troy
nuts.
Could not, oh, Troy could not believe it. And I was just beside myself because I'm like, here I am, still paying a mortgage, can't get this scum out of my house. I mean, what the hell is he doing in my house?
Did they eventually, you know, issue an order that he had to leave?
Yeah, yeah. We finally, yeah, it got to that point where, and then we finally got him out. And, yeah, it was a really bad, bad deal. You know, luckily I had Troy, you know, to help me through it. And, you know, I had a couple of
friends. Now, where did you stay when you evacuated your house and turned all the utilities off at Troy's?
Oh, yeah, I stayed at Troy's. I kind of, like,
there you go. Good move, Troy. I bet you Troy's the one who said, you know, you ought to turn the utilities off and stay and move in my house for a little while while we wait for this guy to expire. Yeah, Troy, good move. I gotta write that one down. Hold on. Turn the utilities off and move in with me. There you go. Okay.
Troy actually just sent me a text message, Carl. He said that he woke Christy up sexually.
Did he really say that?
Yes, he did.
Well, you know, that is true. I will not deny that. That
so,
is
so, so, yeah, so he was your alarm clock in the morning?
Oh, yes.
Damn, I like that. That's good.
You woke me up to a lot of things.
Yeah, that's good. Very, very good.
Would you say you were, like, sheltered before?
To be very honest, I tell Troy this, but he still does not believe me. Like, he's the first man that I was ever with that I can really say I had my first true orgasm with.
Oh, baby, Troy, there you go, brother. There you go.
Like, I'm not just saying it because he's my husband and he's kind of wonderful. You know, I'm just being very honest.
Very good.
And I can't
very
tell
good.
Why.
Very good.
So I got to give my husband some props.
Troy's stock in life just went up.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know he's happy now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he was hoping to get. You know he was hoping to get
right now. He's at home high fiving himself right now because there's nobody else to high five him right now.
Like, he's probably like, that's right. I tell him that. He goes, no. He goes, no. He goes, yeah, you're lying. You're just saying that. And I'm like, I'm telling you, honey, I'm really being serious.
Why would you lie about something like that? That's not something
I know, exactly. Why would I lie? There's no reason to lie.
Damn, that's good. Good stuff.
Now it's out there. It's on the radio. Everybody's heard it now, so.
Yeah.
So everyone knows. Everyone knows the truth.
Troy's the man. That's funny.
What else is he texting you right now? I wonder.
Oh, geez.
Trust me, if
scared.
It's any good, I'll be sure to bring it up.
Okay.
I'm scared.
Troy, if you have any other good tidbits.
So how did you end up in California, Chrissy?
We were living in Miami, and eventually Troy and I did move back into my home that we finally got back into, and Troy completely redid the home and fixed it. It's a beautiful home now. We actually love it, and we still have it. But we started working for ALR. And they decided they wanted us in California to be in-house. So that's the reason what moved us out to California.
How do you like California?
I absolutely love it out here. I mean, it is gorgeous. The people are awesome. Like, we would never move back to Miami, let's put it that way.
Are you in L.A.?
Not in L.A. I live in Temecula, so we're just north of San Diego.
Right.
And it is beautiful here. Like, it's gorgeous. There's vineyards here. You know, we're close to San Diego, so we're close to the beaches. We're
now, is Temecula farther north than, like, La Costa?
To be honest, I'm kind of geographically not so good. So we're 40 minutes north of San Diego. We're about an hour and a half south of L.A.
Yeah, I know where you are.
Does that help?
Yeah, yeah, that's not too far from La Costa.
They're not that far from Lewis.
Oh, Lewis is in San Diego.
Oh, yeah. Big Sexy? Yeah, he's not far from us.
Yeah.
Everybody knows him, right?
Yes. Yeah. We were actually down in the 619 yesterday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. We were at World's Gym. Pretty cool gym. So if you're ever down here, you need to check it out.
I got two kids that are going to college in San Diego, and I've got them living on C Street and 21st, right downtown San Diego. Because that's where they want to live, because they're close to work. They can walk to work and all that sort of stuff, so...
Yeah,
San
Diego's awesome. I love it down there.
Yeah. It's okay. I mean, I like California, but after a while, I don't know. I don't know. I thought I could live there. I actually had some desire to move to San Diego for a while, you know, about 5 or 6 months ago I was talking about. That's also before Ms. X came into the picture. But I don't know if I was going there on the weekends to hang out with the kids and do things, and it's nice, but I don't know that I could live in California. I don't know why.
You said you loved it.
I do like it, but I guess
you like the legalized weed. You told me
that's big. That's very big.
Yeah,
that was,
yeah.
That was a big
and you
plus,
can grow. Yeah. You can actually get a permit to grow up to 12 plants yourself.
Well, you know, Arnold just passed that law. Now you can. You know, it's completely okay until it's like up to an ounce, I think it is, and then you get a ticket.
Yeah. They're smart. They're very smart because weed shouldn't be illegal anyway. And alcohol's legal? What kind of nonsense is that?
It makes no sense.
Makes no sense. So it's going to eliminate a lot of these people that are in jail or prison for weed. You know,
I wonder if they have to let all those people out. I don't think so because they broke the law at the time that it was a law. I mean, I wonder how that works.
That's interesting. I don't know. When they had prohibition, if you got arrested for that, they didn't let you out when prohibition ended.
Right. That's what I'm saying, because you broke the law during the time it was against the law you were doing it. So I don't think people are going to get out.
Well, that would suck, huh? If you were doing it like a few years for weed and then they made it legal. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, Chrissy, you moved to California for ALR. And how did you go from that to Gaspari? What happened with that?
We worked for AOR for a bit, and we hit a point where we just needed a change, and, you know, we just knew it wasn't for us. It just wasn't the fit, it just wasn't right anymore. So we decided to resign, which we did, and once we resigned, we were actually going to move to Kansas because Troy's whole family's in Kansas, so we actually have property there, so we were going to move out to Kansas, and then... Rich Gaspari had called Troy and offered him a position, and Troy's like, whoa, you know, he was just like, this is Rich, you know, he was so excited, he's like, it's Rich, can you believe it, you know, and Troy actually took the position without telling me and then told me, like, kind of after, but, you know, Troy's working with the company, and then I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to transfer my PT license to California, and I'll start practicing again, and it so happens in December, Troy got a call from Rich, and he was like, you know, do you think it's okay if, you know, we have Chrissy on our team as an athlete? And, you know, at the time, I didn't want, you know, Troy had a job with them. I didn't want to be like, oh, do you want to sponsor me or anything like that? And I was like, he did what? You know, he called you? You know, and I was all excited, and I was like, you know, Troy's like, of course, you know, who wouldn't want to be part of your team of athletes, you know? What an honor, so... Ever since December, I've been part of the team, and Rich, Liz, and the rest of the team, you know, Gaspari have been amazing, and we're just both very happy and blessed to be part of their team.
Cool.
So, they've been great.
We're running low on time, but I want to talk about Muscle Girls, Inc. and how you got involved with Dave Palumbo and your co-host, Colette Nelson.
Sure. Back in 2007, I actually worked the muscular development booth at the Arnold, it was. And that's where I first really met Dave and Colette for the first time. And, you know, I had just started talking to Dave. And, you know, during contest time, Troy was always doing my prep. And then, you know, Troy's like, maybe you should hire someone else. And, you know, I met Dave. I was like, wow, this guy had crazy conditioning. You know, maybe I'll give him a shot. And we just started talking at the Arnold at the booth. And, you know, I decided to hire Dave for my contest prep back in 2007. So that's how I first started working with Dave and then met Colette through that. And then one day Dave had called Troy and was like, you know, I want to start a girls radio show. And, you know, I'm thinking about having Chrissy co-host it with Colette. What do you think? And Troy's like, yeah, I think she'll love to do it. And that's how that started. So we started, you know, co-hosting the radio show together. And, you know, Colette's awesome. Like, she's just, you know, she has a great personality. She's really, I think she was a fabulous host. And, you know, we had a great time doing it. And then, you know, eventually it got to a point where, you know, Colette and Dave weren't together anymore. And, you know, they decided they wanted new blood in there. So, you know, I no longer was the host of Muscle Girls, Inc. So.
Were you upset?
Of course upset, just because I really enjoyed doing it, and, you know, we had a lot of great feedback from people that we met, like at shows, and, you know, they're like, oh, we love your show, you know, so I really do miss that part and the fact that, you know, we had a good, loyal base, and, you know, but then I was like, you know what, you know, it's, you know, Dave's deal. If that's what he wants, then, you know, that's fine. You know, we'll just move on and, you know, just break. And, you know, I decided not to work with him for contest prep. So, you know, kind of just broke all ties that way.
Right. Well, what are your competition plans? What is your goals for the future? I mean, obviously, you used the pro show. So what's after that? What's the plan?
Yeah, well, I usually let Coach Kim Odo decide. You know, usually I sit down with him and we just, you know, target our shows and we just come up with a plan. But right now, I have my contracts in for the Houston Pro and for the Border States in San Diego. So I'll be on stage next week in Houston and the following week Border States. So, you know, the goal is to hopefully qualify for 2011 Olympia. So top three is the goal.
So if you qualify, will that mean will you wait till next year to do the Olympia, or will you do other shows?
I am going to put in for an invite for the Arnolds, and hopefully, you know, that will result in a positive outcome, because I was in the Arnold this past year. So, you know, hopefully I'll get an invite again. It was an amazing experience.
Was this year your first year in the Arnold?
Yep, it was my first year, yeah.
Did you have a good time at the Arnold?
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Like, everyone's like, what's better, the Arnold or Olympia? They're both amazing in their own way. I mean, it's the two stages as a pro that you just want to be able to compete in. So, you know, the fact that I've been on both of those stages, it's amazing. And if I'm able to step on that stage again, I can say I'm extremely blessed and honored. I mean, to be with all those athletes on the two biggest stages of the world and, you know, because every single pro up there is amazing. I mean, you just look around, and to be able to compete with them and stand next to them, it's an honor. So,
right. Well, Chrissy, we're out of time, but why don't you go ahead and thank your sponsors one more time, and tell if anybody wants to get in touch with you, how can they reach you?
Sure. First, I'd like to thank you both for having me on the show. It's been awesome. I had a great time, and I just thank you for having me as a guest. I'm
of course, thank
honored,
you for coming.
So thank you.
You know, she's actually the first guest that's actually thanked us.
I know, it's rare.
That's pretty cool. Thank you.
Oh, no, of course. You know, I was like, when Aaron called me, I was like, really? You want me on your show? That's awesome. I go, thank you. So, yeah, I have to thank you both first. And then I'd also like to thank, like you said, my sponsors, Gaspari Nutrition. Thank you so much. ProTan is my other sponsor, and you know, I have to give a shout out to my husband Troy, who you all know now is the man, and my coach trainer Kim Odo, who's been amazing ever since I started working with him last year, and all my family, friends. I mean, I have so many people to thank, and I just thank all my fans out there. You know, I appreciate everything, all your comments, messages. And if anyone needs help with anything or would like to contact me, you can always visit my website, which is www.chrissychin.com. But I'm on Facebook. You can find me on there also.
And also, our music producer, Brandon Best, asked that you friend him. He's friending you on Facebook. Accept his friendship. So that's
Brandon
who
Brandon
Best, and he is GX on the boards. I can't pronounce his name. It's something... I guess
GX is good enough.
Yeah, Go Shang Lu or something. He's big.
Oh,
into...
yes. And he just got married, so big congrats
yes.
out to him.
There you go. And yes, he messaged me to tell you that he friended you on Facebook, so please accept his friendship, okay?
Oh, without a doubt.
And tell Troy we were asking for him. I know he's listening anyway, so he's hearing it firsthand.
No, thank you guys so much.
Okay.
I appreciate everything.
And we'll talk to you again
next
soon.
Week in Houston.
Yeah, you guys have fun, okay? Think of me.
Thank you, we will.
Okay.
I'll see you soon.
Okay, see you soon, Chrissy.
All right, take care.
All right, and stay tuned. When we come back, we will have Sally Ann Taylor on. She will be giving us the update on the state of the RX muscledom. We'll be right back. You know what's next. Safe sex. I'll be damned if I sleep in the flesh with the insects. Uh-huh. Oh. Little Joe Tanzan.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Sciences want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from Bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at Bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking, and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormonal optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging is included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from Bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at Bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back to Off Topic. Our guest this hour will be none other than Sally Ann Taylor. How you doing, Sally?
I am doing okay. How you doing, Carl?
Good. You like being in New York?
You know, it's not so bad. It's a little chillier than it is back home, though.
Yeah, and it's not quite as pretty, is it? Although, you're out in Long Island, a nice area.
Oh, it's pretty nice. It's pretty nice at Dave's house.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're out in Long Island.
He's right on the water, Carl.
Yeah, he's out in Beth. And is he in Bethpage or Oyster Bay?
Seaford.
Yeah, that's Oyster Bay. Yeah, that's a nice area.
Yeah, it is. It's real pretty here. It looks very similar to where I live.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
Yeah, it's nice.
You got water out where you live?
She's up in north.
I'm landlocked, but I'm talking about the homes and the neighborhoods and
the
like
greenery
that.
Too, because there's a lot of pine trees up where Sally is, and so it's very similar foliage wise.
Well, actually, you know, I'm down in Bisbee now, but it's pretty much the same. It's got a little microclimate of its own, and it's a lot cooler, and we've got palm trees, and we've got everything from palm trees to pine trees, so it's pretty cool.
Very How nice. Cold is it in New York right now?
We were driving home from the gym, and Dave's car said 66 degrees. That was about half an hour ago.
Well, check this out. In Atlanta this weekend, the low is 40 degrees. What do you think of that?
Really? It's going to be cold? I was thinking it would be warmer there.
Well, the high is 70, but the low is 40.
Wow. It's going to be kind of chilly.
I'm excited, actually.
Are you ready for fall? I'm ready for fall.
I'm ready for fall. I don't like, I'm not a big heat guy. I'd rather it be, I don't want it to be cold, but I like it cool.
That's part of what I hate about Phoenix. It's just way, way too hot here. Just way too hot.
I agree. I do. I mean, Phoenix is got, you know, there's a lot of wonderful things if you're living there, but the heat, I can't live in Phoenix. Too hot.
There's that much difference in just a few hour drive, Sally?
Oh, where
she,
It's like country where she is. It's up in the mountains more.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm in Bisbee. I'm actually, it's a mile high city. So, I think the warmest it got this summer was like 90.
Wow, what a difference, man. That's amazing.
Yeah, big difference.
Oh, interesting. Carl, you should have moved your mom up there.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, now it's a done deal. She's going to Louisville.
Right.
Yeah. Well, actually, Carl, I'm only like 5 miles from the Mexican border. So,
oh, that's cool. You got
to
be careful.
That's not like a desirable thing to be anymore, though. No. They're like drug cartels.
Yeah, well, you know what? The little town I live in is a real historic. Bisbee was a mining town. It was founded in 1850 or something. And they still have all the old buildings. They've kept it up. They market it as a tourist attraction. And so it's really a really safe little town. You'd be surprised. You know, I say I'm on the border, and you immediately think of like Tijuana or something like that, but it's not like that at all.
Do you live close to Rocky Point now from where you are?
No. I am actually probably the furthest southeast you can get in Arizona.
Oh, okay.
New Mexico is only maybe 35 more miles away.
Gotcha.
Do you ever see like Mexicans sneaking across the border or anything?
You know, Sierra Vista is not that far away, maybe another 30 miles, and that's a bigger town, and there's Border Patrol crawl over the place. You always drive by and you see the Border Patrol has cars pulled over and they have Mexicans lined up on the curb waiting for the bus to come pick them up and deport them back. Yeah, all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So Sally, one of the things we wanted to have you on for is we wanted a kind of a state of the RX muscle address.
State of address, RX muscle address. Okay. What do you guys
want
to know?
I don't want to take any of the thunder away from you, so I don't want to give anything away. Anybody who's been watching the boards has been seeing what's been going on. But you're out there in New York. Why are you out there in New York and what's going on?
I am up here in New York meeting with Sean Andros. I am taking over his work. So I came up here and we went over some things, all the files off his computer, stuff like that. So Sean's actually moved on and does have a really awesome position somewhere else, but I will let him announce that when he's ready.
Oh, so he did get another job.
He does. He does. And I'm happy for him, too. He's kind of going in a different direction, and he's actually pretty happy about the whole thing. So, yeah. But anyway,
I mean, a different direction, like outside of the fitness industry?
No. He's in the same industry, but he's taken on a new position. You know, working here with Dave, you pretty much have to be a jack of all trades. You got to fly by the seat of your pants because, you know, what Dave wants to do changes from minute to minute at each show we go to, and you have to think fast and adapt, you know, adapt and overcome. And Sean's kind of moving into a position where he won't have to do that anymore. It's going to be a little more stable, calmer, probably easier on the mind, that kind of thing.
Yeah, Sean, that was one of the things that was tough for Sean. What you say is adjusting to, you know, if Dave, like you said, if Dave wants to interview somebody that's not on the schedule, he's going to do it. And you just have to, you know, that's just what has to be done.
Yeah. You know, you can set a schedule for one of these shows and we can talk about it beforehand, but I guarantee you that 90% of it is going to change while we're there. And that's just because you never know when a competitor is going to be available, who you're going to run into, you know, it just all depends. You got to kind of seize the moment and take advantage of what you can right there.
What Dave was actually talking about this on Heavy Muscle Radio is that some of these, when you're at one of these shows, these athletes don't really, you know, they're not really, the forethought on their mind is not to do an interview. So they're leaving, you know, so you have to adjust whatever you're doing to get the coverage.
Right.
Correct.
You're not going to be able to be like,
creative
hey,
about that. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't say, Ed, we're going to want to interview you in 35 minutes, you know, we'll be here. We're interviewing this guy. We'll be back in 35 minutes. Because when you come back in 35 minutes, Ed's going to be gone.
Oh, they want to go eat. They're out of there, man. They're done.
I don't even mean
Ed. Those are what they want, food.
Example.
Yeah. So, you know, we've had to do things like, you know, stake ourselves out in the hallway. Like the Olympia, I had to stake myself out in front of the doors that came in from backstage just so I could catch these people because their families are waiting there as well. And, you know, they see their family. Their family's like, let's go to dinner, and they're gone, you know, so.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do.
And once the opportunity is gone, it's gone.
It is gone.
Okay, so keep going, Sally. You're there in New York with Sean. When is Sean leaving? Is he gonna move out of Dave's house? What's the plan with that?
Yeah, at the end of the month. I did not ask him where he was moving to or anything like that. But yes, he's getting ready to take off November 1st, and I actually think Jeff, the producer, will be taking his apartment.
Now, explain to people who haven't been to Dave's house. People always say, you know, the Sean Andrews lives in Dave's basement. While that is true, it's not just like a basement.
Actually, it's ground level. It's not a basement. So when you walk into Dave's house, you're at ground level, and that's the first floor apartment. Now, Dave lives upstairs on the second and third floors. So it's not really a basement. It's actually a pretty nice little apartment.
It's an actual apartment, though. He's rented this out to somebody else.
Yeah, full kitchen. Yeah, it's full kitchen. It's got a living room, bathroom, bedroom. It's a, just a
and now, and now, and then Jeff currently lives beneath the apartment, so he's moving up into the apartment, right?
Yeah, Jeff's taking Sean's apartment. So
okay,
I don't know how that's going to work out. You know, I don't know how he's going to like maybe Dave knocking on his door all the time, but maybe he'll have to install a deadbolt or something. So.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah, because Dave will that'll be interesting. Dave will be able to go down and just knock on Jeff's door any time.
Yeah, it kind of goes like this. Look, I'm having some people over Saturday night. I need you to serve cocktails and hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, right.
Come on. Oh, that'll go over well with Jeff, don't you think? He'd really like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jeff will,
oh, Jeff will put his fingers in the hors d'oeuvres and then serve them to everybody. That's all. Just big fingerprints in the center of them. That's all.
Okay, so Jeff's moving in. Sean's moving out. You're taking over Sean's responsibilities. So let me ask you, Sally. Sean was the vice president of RX Muscle. Are you the new vice president?
I have been called that a couple of times, but it makes me a little uncomfortable. Not because of, I don't know. It makes me uncomfortable, I guess, only because I don't know if that's the correct name for this position. Maybe that just adds just a little bit too much pressure on a person. But
yeah.
That's what Dave calls it. But I would prefer to say probably
you're the vice president.
Yeah, that's what he called it.
So you're going to be more of an assistant. I'd call Sean Mr. Vice President. So now you're Madam Vice President.
Yeah,
is that right?
There you go.
Madam Vice President. So actually, you know what? It's too bad. I think if I had to choose between vice presidencies, I would rather have like the Vice President of the United States because that guy doesn't do anything at all. And look how much money he makes.
Joe Biden.
So, that's what I think of when I think vice president. And but I'm not out playing golf.
You could be like the prime minister.
But Sally, you know, you can have like the male employees that are subordinate to you come into your office and like you could do like the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky thing. You know what I mean?
Service you. They can
service
you.
Yeah. Well, that would be really awesome if there was anybody that was below me. But right now, you know, who is it? So, you know, that's what I mean. Calling
I thought you were going to.
Funny. There's only two of us, though.
I thought you were going to say if there were any guys that were hot. I know. That's what I thought she was going to say. If there were any guys that would, like, turn me on, I would do that. But now you're saying that there's nobody below you. So, okay. So there's your first.
You know what? I have to talk Dave into hiring some people.
I was just going
to
say, there's your first.
That I can sexually harass.
Oh, there's somebody. There is a few people. You've got.
Diego.
And you've got the new guy, Nick the, what is it they call him? Nick the intern.
The intern, yes. I guess we do. We have an intern coming to work for us. So that's
Technically, I would think Jimmy the Angry Bull would be under you.
Jimmy the Angry Bull would probably love to be under me.
He's under your purview.
I'm just making a guess on that, but yeah. Good old Jimmy.
Well, maybe you can arrange that then.
Actually, you know what I did while I was here? I got to tell you, within the first couple hours that I was here, I watched Jimmy the Iron Bull Pelleccia Made in the USA VHS tape.
Oh.
Have you guys seen it?
No. Is it good?
I haven't seen it.
He has on the most fucked up pair of white and black stretch pants I've ever seen. You know, like the old 80s ones? And he goes through several workouts that encompass several days, and he wears a different color every day. So,
nice.
Like, first it was black and white, and then he had, like bumblebee yellow and black
and
ones.
Black,
and
yeah,
had,
right.
Like,
I remember those were popular, too, the yellow and black.
Oh, ones. Yeah. You know, and then I told Dave I was kind of making fun of him, and Dave had this look on his face, and so I said, you have a pair of those, don't you? And he said, hey,
yes.
I looked good in those. I still think he has him in his closet, but he won't own
it. I bet he does.
And a pair, and those white, and those white high top plush sneakers that we used to wear back then
I
can't even think of the name of them that right now, but
Sally, we need to think of some skit to do where Dave can wear all that old clothes again for something.
That is exactly what I told him. I said, if you have those in your closet, it would be so awesome to put all that back on and do a video. And of course then the light bulb went on over his head because, you know, he can't pass up a video opportunity, but he still wouldn't admit he had the pants. I think he's got them though.
Oh, he's got them. He's definitely got them.
He's got them.
Well, I know one person, Sally, that must have been very excited that you were back in New York. Dave's father.
Sal, yes. Actually, I've been out to dinner with Sal already. He's like my favorite. I think he's my new boyfriend.
There you go.
Wait, did he take, because Sal wanted to, this is Dave's 80-year-old father. He was he asked Sally last time we were all there, he asked her out on a date. He wanted to take her out to some nice restaurant where they could get dressed up.
Right.
Did you guys get dressed up and go out to a nice restaurant?
I didn't get super dressed up. We went out, you know, Dave takes his dad out for dinner on Sunday nights after he does a radio show. So we just went out, Dave and Sal and I went out to dinner. We had sushi and had a really nice time. You know, he really is a really interesting person. Fun to be around. And he likes me, so I think that's it. And wouldn't it be fun if we got married and then Dave had to call me mom?
Oh my God, that would be great. That would be so awesome. And you could tell Dave what to do then.
I know. I'm your mother. You need to.
Don't you talk back to me, young man.
Exactly. It's kind of sick, but it's funny, too.
You'd be the vice president of the company and his mom at the same time. Very cool. Very cool.
How awesome is that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Be like, we can make fun of him. Dave, you and your mom work together. have your mom fix the thread on the board.
Yeah. That'd be funny. Yeah, right. When he tells you to do something, tell your mother to do it. Have your mother do that, man. Don't you talk about my mother? That's funny.
Yeah, well, you know, Sal actually gave me I was talking about my son with Sal. You know, Sal was he's an artist and a writer. And so I was telling him about my son who loves to read. So he actually gave me a book to send home for him. He wrote a little note on the inside of it and everything for my son. I thought that was really sweet. So,
was it the book that he wrote, or was it just another book?
No, it is a book on Greek mythology. My son is into Greek mythology.
Really? How cool.
Yes. Yeah, cool. He can bore you to tears with every Greek god there is. He knows the names. He knows everything about them.
Cool.
I know one.
He was trying to earn brownie points with you. You see that?
That's
Sally?
Right. You see that?
I know one that your son may not know. It's not a god, but it's a Greek mythological character from Greek mythology.
Oh, I'm ready. Go ahead, girl.
Theron, Theron. Who was it?
Theron?
You're asking me? I'm not
interested. I'm asking. Aaron said, go on. He said he was going to guess.
No, I thought it was going to be something goofy. One of your jokes is going to be like the god of
Greek mythology, Theron was a hunter who was out hunting one morning when all the men in the village were killed. And so he had to hunt every single day to feed everybody in the village. And he became one of the most proficient hunters. And there's a constellation named after him as well.
That's probably the only one you know.
Yeah, you know why? Because I had a hunting dog that I worked very hard to pick a name for, and I found that name for him. So there you go. And he was actually a good hunting dog. He lived up to the name.
Look at you. All intellectual, Carl.
Oh, yeah. Very cerebral. When I'm not telling dick and fart jokes, I'm really cerebral.
So, Sally, what else is going on at the RX Muscle headquarters?
You know, we have some really new and exciting stuff coming out. As you guys have seen, we have a new strongman section on the front page of RX. I don't know if you guys have looked at that or not.
No, I didn't see that.
No, not yet either.
We are with the help of Nathan Payton. I don't know if you guys know who he is or not. He does nutrition for...
Strongman coach.
Pardon me?
He's a strongman coach, right?
Yeah. He's a nutritional trainer. You know, Travis Ortemeyer, Ryan Bracewell, people like that.
Yep.
He contacted us and really wanted to incorporate strongmen into the website. So we created a whole section. He's going to be writing articles for us. He will be providing live play-by-plays of several of the strongman competitions. So that's pretty exciting to me. I love World's Strongest Man and strongman stuff. I love that stuff. So I was really excited when I found out. So that's what we're working on right now.
That's good because it'll bring a whole new aspect and a whole new member group of members to the board.
Yeah, and you know, we've had strongmen on our forum since the beginning. you know, they've been hanging in there with us. They've got their forum. So yeah, I think it's great. I'm excited. I want tickets to go to China. Won't it be fun to go to the World's Strongest Man?
Wow, that would be
China. Great. That would be great.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you and me, Aaron. Maybe we can go.
There you go. Absolutely. Now you're talking. You guys have roomed together already. You don't mind his snoring, do you?
Actually, he has not snored when I've roomed with him.
Huh? Oh. See, Carl?
Well, yeah, that's not true. Actually, when he was in our room at the Olympia, he got his
That was nothing.
Though. We weren't sleeping.
But the only reason why you didn't snore is because you don't know that Sally Ann stuck something in your mouth while you were sleeping. Now, I'm not saying what it could have been, a pillow, a bar of soap, but, you know, that's what she kept you from.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
There you go. Yeah, no. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying. She probably put a pillow over your face so you couldn't snore.
Yeah, I didn't want to kill him.
I don't snore as much anymore, Carl, now that I've lost so much weight.
Really?
Yeah, see, he lost a bunch of weight, and he just didn't snore at all. So.
Yeah. Are you snoring now?
Well, yes, he
is.
At the Olympia, he snored.
I started snoring. I don't know when this happened. It probably happened like 4 or 5 years ago, I think. But I have to find a way to break it. It's really annoying. Well, not to me, to other people, actually. It's not annoying. I don't even know that I'm snoring once I'm asleep. So,
when I used to snore, though, I had sleep apnea. So I was, I was like suffocating. So it's good.
No, I don't have sleep apnea. But apparently, I sound like I'm channeling dead people in my sleep because it sounds like I'm talking, apparently.
Really?
Like the movie Little Nicky?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was funny. Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly. I guess that's what I'm doing.
Oh. Yeah. Creepy. Yeah. I've heard you snore before. Ever since I've known you, you snored.
Me?
Yeah.
When did you hear me snore? When did we room together?
I can't remember.
I didn't stay at your house when I came to Houston, right? I stayed at a hotel. So that wasn't then.
I don't remember.
Didn't you guys room at the Olympia?
No, we had separate rooms. I got separate rooms for us.
Well, that's probably a good thing.
Because Ms. X accompanied me to the Olympia. And so.
Ms. X.
How about the Arnold? Did we ever stay together at the Arnold?
Did we stay in the same room? I don't think so. No, we had separate rooms again. I got separate rooms. Don't you remember? Because you were down the hall with Amy.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Maybe I'm thinking of Lewis then.
Yeah, you're
maybe
probably thinking Sally. Of Lewis. No, maybe Sally's the one who snores.
Who knows? Maybe I do.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
What? It was the Arnold because you were rooming with Lewis, and you both snored so loud. You kept your girlfriends awake.
And that's the way. That's the year I didn't. That's when I didn't go. You guys, and that's when you found out that Amy was texting people on Plenty of Fish or something like that. That was
yeah. She's right. On the website. That's so right. That was great. It seems like every trip I have some drama with Amy. You know, not anymore.
Not anymore. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like every trip. There's whenever I'm gone or we're away. That's when she starts trouble.
Pattern, yeah, definite pattern.
Yeah.
What about this weekend? Is she going to start trouble this weekend? Now that you're
nope,
there?
Not possible. Thankfully, doesn't even have my phone number.
Oh, that's right. You switched. Yep. She'll get it. Yep. She'll get it from somebody. Just you wait.
No, nobody better give it to her. Anybody gives her my phone number, I'll be pissed. That'll be it. Let's hope not. Hopefully, she'll never get it. So, anyway, so let's see what else. What else, Sally?
What else?
You've got some stuff going on with you.
Yeah, like what? My personal life. Well, kind of. I mean, it's been going on for a while, but yeah, I am officially single after like 9 years or some god awful number like that.
How do you feel about that?
I feel okay. I'm so busy that there isn't any time to sit around and dwell on it. Really, Jeff and I are still friends. Nobody really did anything wrong. We just started going separate directions. He was working in a different town. I was doing something else, and pretty soon you spend that much time apart, and you just don't have a lot in common anymore.
He didn't. He didn't like cheat on you with the front desk guy at the gym.
I don't think so. Not that I know of. But you know, no. He's a nice guy. He's a nice guy. There's a pretty big age difference between us, and I think as we've gotten older, it didn't really matter when we met. But, you know, as we've gotten older, I think that it's definitely put a strain on things. You know?
So he's older than you, you're saying?
Yeah, 16 years older.
Holy mackerel, that is older. Hoo-ha! Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
But then you're going to say like 6 years older or something like that. I was like, that's a lot of age right there, 16 years.
Yeah, you know, and I was starting to hear the you know, well, I don't really feel like doing that. I don't want to do that. I'm too old for that, and blah 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 blah. And you know, I don't know. I'm not too old to do stuff, so you know, so I think that might have something to do with it as well.
Yeah.
Also, you know, I have a son who's 10, and Jeff's been there, you know, most of his life.
Right.
And really does consider him dad, but they never really, really bonded. Jeff is not really comfortable around kids. He just never has. And he's never, you know, he's never really played with them or anything like that. And if I go out of town, he doesn't, you know, do anything with them at all. He'd stay with my mom. So.
Jeff would put food and water down on the floor for the kid. And then walk out of the house and come back 2 hours later.
Yeah, kind of, you know, and that was kind of a big deal for me because, you know, I'm a package deal. I have a son, love me, you know, he's a good boy too. It's not like he's a horrible kid. He's a really, really good boy.
Right.
And, you know, my son tried really hard, and I think he got his feelings hurt a lot of times because Jeff just wasn't as receptive. And so that was another issue with us as well, and it wasn't something that ever really resolved itself. I guess I was hoping after a few years that maybe they would bond and, you know, and they did sort of, but, you know, there were no hugs there. There were no kisses there or anything like that for a little boy who needs that kind of stuff.
Yeah, especially,
you know, I mean?
A little boy needs a man to exemplify that, all those things, because otherwise they think that men are cold and, you know, austere and disconnected, and then they become cold, austere, and disconnected. So it's really important
Correct.
For young boys to see that. And was Jeff loving with you in front of your son? Did your son see him, you know, kiss you or say, I love you, and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, but Jeff in general is kind of like a lot of guys who are kind of closed off and they can't describe their feelings. He's one of those kind of guys.
Yeah.
So if I were to ask him how he was feeling, he couldn't actually, and this is so weird, he could never actually describe a feeling. He didn't even understand what I was asking him. So he's kind of emotionally closed off to begin with.
Yeah.
And towards the end, it was me trying really hard. I tried to make plans for us so we could spend time together and alone and whatever to try to make it work because we were just drifting apart. And it just, no matter what I tried, it just didn't work. You know?
Well, Sally, what kind of guy are you looking for so that we can try to find you one?
I am not looking for a guy at all. I have
not
doubt.
Interested?
I'm just not looking. You know, I don't mind being alone. I'm not really alone. I have my son. I have work. I don't mind those things. I actually like my alone time.
Yeah.
So I'm not someone who can't live by themselves or has to constantly have, you know, a man there to support me. It would be nice eventually, I guess, but I'm not, you know, I'm not yearning for it right now.
Yeah. And you know what?
What kind of guy do you think I need?
What kind of guy do I think you need?
Yeah, what kind of guy do I need?
I don't know. What do you mean? Like, I was interested in hearing what you thought.
Wait, let's take a break. Let's take a break. And when we come back, let her think about it. You think about it. We'll all think about it.
I'll consider it.
And when we come back, we'll find out who Sally Ann needs in the way of a man. The truth of the matter is, I understand what you're saying, because coming out of a relationship, the last thing you think about is doing is jumping into another one, unless you're just, cause you know, you gotta take some time for your soul to kind of heal.
I do.
Yeah. But you're fucked up. Sally Ann's not. All right, look, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll find out if you are the lucky man in Sally Ann Taylor's future. Stay tuned. This is Off Topic Radio.
Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. speciesnutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormone optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking, and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Off Topic Radio. Our guest this hour is Sally Ann Taylor. So,
I just want to say, Carl, they're insulting my McDonald's on the thread on the board.
What are they saying about your
McDonald's? They're saying that McDonald's is not food, and I have to disagree that I love McDonald's very much, and I would never pass on McDonald's.
Yeah, I mean,
saying you should take it. GX is saying I should pass on McDonald's forever. In other words, never return to McDonald's, and I would never do that, Carl.
No, I know that. They don't.
There's no place like McDonald's. I can get three double cheeseburgers, a 6-piece chicken nugget with honey, of course, because I like honey, and two apple pies for $1. Or now you can get, Carl, you can get two sweet potato pies for $1, all for less than $8. Where else are you going
to
do that?
Yeah, and that's like 3,000 calories right there, too.
It's actually close to 2,000. Okay. So, I mean.
Yeah, no, you keep, look, you know what? A lot of people have tried to discourage, different types of loves in this world, you know, biracial love, and you love McDonald's. Don't let these people down you for that, man. You go on with it.
Yeah. You talk about love at first sight with Mrs. X, that's the same thing with me with McDonald's.
See? So there you go. When you look at that hamburger, you get a little wood?
When I get, when the double cheeseburger for $1.49, I mean,
you get little wood. You gotta go. Even when using Deca, I still get an erection thinking about those hamburgers.
Exactly.
All right. Well, anyway, so let's get back on track here. So
you got the problem with the erections with Deca, not me.
Yeah, but it's going away. I stopped using the Deca. That's it. I thought
good man, Carl.
I was using a gram of Deca a week, but I was using 2 grams of testosterone with it, and I thought for sure that the one would cancel out the other, but it didn't. I was very, very disturbed. Very disturbed, say the least. But
so like the will was there, but
Well, like I could get, I could, well, no, no, yeah. I mean, the will was there and like the arousal arose and, but then like midway through the process, all of a sudden it was like, Mr. Happy would go, I wish I was somewhere else right now. And he changed his mind, and I was like, "No, dude, we're not done yet."
So, like, right in the middle.
Yeah, well, sometimes in the middle, sometimes after the first round, you know. Which usually, like, I'm usually the kind of guy who can, you know, kind of, I'm not bragging. I'm like a lot of guys, you know. I mean, usually a couple 3 hours later, I'm still working. But it wasn't doing that for me. It was very disappointing. But thank God the week of the Olympia, I took my last injection, And things are starting to come back to normal now. I woke up last night. I actually did a milligram of melanotan last night before bed. Just to like
kickstand, right?
Yeah, and I woke up in the middle of the night like super aroused. I was like, oh god, it's working. This is great. Okay, and then I went back to sleep. So I kind of feel
with the melanotan, you can't like time it like that, can you?
No, the melanotan for me works right away. I mean,
really?
Yeah, when I use a good when it's real melanotan too, within 15 minutes of injecting it, I get
hard on.
Within 15 minutes of injecting it, I get nauseous. And then about 10 minutes from there, I start getting stretchy where I feel like I want to stretch and yawn a lot all of a sudden. And then the erection comes on.
So you need to inject it like,
nauseous too.
You're on a date, maybe you're going to get laid and you start getting nauseous and then stretchy. And then you get a hard on.
The very first time I ever used,
not very romantic.
The very first time I ever used melanotan, I didn't know if it was real, and so I thought I'm going to shoot 2 milligrams of it, like to find out.
Oh God!
And I injected 2 milligrams of it, and then I got into the shower to mitigate the sense of nausea. I thought, well, I'm going to get in the shower before the nausea comes on, because while I'm in the shower, I won't feel the nausea. And that was actually a good plan, by the way. Got out of the shower, looked in the mirror, and went, "Holy shit!" I was like all red. I was like, "Okay, this stuff is real. It's working." And I was supposed to have my daughter that night. And, within like 20 minutes of doing the two milligrams, I had a full blown erection and it wouldn't go away. And I rubbed like 5 out and it wouldn't go away. And I thought, and I had to call my ex and say, look, something came up. I gotta go
something
someplace.
Literally came up.
And I said, I can't take her tonight. And, you know, she was all pissed off. Like, well, I have plans with my girlfriends tonight. I was like, look, I can't do it tonight, you know. And
did you go to the emergency room? You know, because you know if you have an erection lasting longer than 4 hours.
No, I actually called a girl, and had her come over, and we took advantage of my kickstand.
I would like to have heard about you going to the emergency room. I think that would be fine.
Nah, I would never. If I had a 4-hour erection, I would be like, woohoo! I would be going to the emergency room. Whenever I hear that commercial, I think, and if your erection lasts longer than 4 hours, seek medical attention. Like, bullshit.
There's like what's the terminology for that, Carl? There's like a medical term.
Propriorism, I forget. But I mean, it's like, if you have an erection for 4 hours, go find someone you want to impress. You know, it's like, forget the emergency room.
Well, eventually, if it stays like that long enough, like the blood will sit in there long enough.
It'll clot.
Yeah, and then you.
But you know what? But you can do other things. I mean, if you have an erection for 4 hours, you just need to keep rubbing them out or have sex long enough until it goes down on its own. That's it.
You should just walk around the street, like, you know, and pretend that there's nothing wrong. Go to the gym with some sweatpants.
That'd be hilarious.
Go work out. Be looking at you.
You know what you do?
Like there's nothing wrong.
You do shrugs from the front with a bar, and like, and have your Johnson on the bar, and as you pull the shrug up, it points up in the air, and then it goes back down again. It's like, yeah, that'd be funny. That would actually make for a good video for YouTube, like a joke video.
You know what? I think I've actually seen a video of a guy who like lifts weights with his penis.
Really?
An erection, and yeah, you'll have to go on YouTube and check it out.
What Dave said something.
Dave says Jimmy Pelletier does that. Yeah.
Jimmy Pelletier does it, you say?
Yeah, Jimmy Pelletier.
Yeah, well, he exercises with a towel. He puts a towel on it in the shower, you know, like a wet towel, and he hangs on his dick and
does that. Does he still do that?
What did Dave say?
He says guys at the gym do that too. At Titans Gym, they hang stuff from their balls.
Yeah, I don't know.
What guys at the gym do that?
At Dave's gym.
And what kind of gym is Dave going to?
At Dave's. Dave's gym happens to be at the YMCA, unfortunately.
That's what I was going to say, yeah, the YMCA.
He goes to the bathhouse to work out.
There you go. Yeah, like, hey, look at my...
I see him yelling in the background. Tell him, does he want to be on the radio?
Dave goes to a gym where the guys go, is there any separation in my glutes? Yeah, sure, I'll separate your glutes for you.
Whose glutes are you going
to
separate?
No, I said Dave goes to a gym where when the guys in the gym ask, is there any separation in my glutes? The other guy goes, I'll separate your glutes for you.
Oh, yeah. You know what? In Dave's gym, I was in the Smith machine, and I happened to look up. I was going to do some sumo squats, and I look up, and there's Dave Flumbo, that picture of him squatting all that freaking weight. Have you seen that picture?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's famous.
600 pounds. huge squat. They've got a picture of him right up there.
He's squatting so six plates or something, or seven plates.
Yeah, yeah. It's an amazing picture. Yeah. Anyway, they got that right up underneath the Smith machine. So
cool.
You guys don't work out at Bev's?
Inspired. No, we went to Titan Gym.
Okay, let's
a nice little gym.
Let's get back on track here for a second. So, because we got to end the show soon. So, what type of a guy is the right guy for Sally Ann Taylor? You think
Sally doesn't like the pretty boys. She wants like a big burly man, like a mountain man kind of deal.
Really, Sally?
You mean like Grizzly Adams? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, like no beard or anything. I just mean you like a big kind of
a guy who looks like a guy.
Yeah, like she kind of likes I think she would like.
He's got to be bigger than me. Let's just put it that way. I'm not going to date anybody who's smaller than I am.
Like smaller muscular wise or smaller height wise?
Both.
Oh, okay. Well, that limits the field.
I'm like 5 feet tall. Can you imagine dated somebody shorter than me?
No, I know. I mean, but you're, and I know what you mean because you're not that tall, but
I'm like 5'1" with big hair. I'm like 5 feet tall.
That's cute.
Yeah.
That's cute.
I think doesn't like the pretty boys. He's like a big burly kind of mountain man. That's what I see. Like a lumberjack with maybe some tattoos or something.
There you go. You know what? I know who I bet Sally Ann would like. The guy that was the werewolf on True Blood that ends up falling in love with Sookie. You know who I'm talking about?
Is he the guy that like pretty much attacks every woman on the show? Are we talking about that? Like,
he's a good guy. He protects.
Yeah. No,
he's got the Cajun accent. He's tall. He's got dark hair.
He's kind of skinny though.
I don't know about that. He looks pretty muscular.
Probably 6'3", Sally, maybe 215.
That's big enough. That's good.
There you go.
I think my problem is that I'm really stubborn and headstrong and outspoken. I mean, those aren't always great qualities, and a lot of guys are put off by that. So I probably need somebody who can deal with that and probably has, you know what I mean?
Somebody who's really secure with themselves. That's what it takes.
Yeah. I've calmed down a lot as I've gotten older. I used to be really bad for a while. I would just say whatever, and I would hurt people's feelings, and so I've learned to calm that down quite a bit.
Yeah, you're pretty on the boards and stuff. You're pretty politically correct,
Mellow.
Yeah.
I never have been a big troublemaker on any forum that I've been on. Only forum I ever got banned from was like Razor Rips forum. That was it. And I didn't.
Yeah, I got banned there too. It said "fuck you, Jew" or something like that when I tried to log in.
When do you go back to Arizona?
I go back Sunday.
Would you ever move to New York and to stay close to home base with the company?
I don't know. Right now I don't need to. Everything that I can do from home. That's the beauty of the internet. And then I'll just be traveling a lot next year. So we'll see. My big problem is that it's really expensive to live here. I even looked at rent. I was contemplating. It's really expensive to live here. Where I live now is very cheap to live. I live well because it's cheap. My mom lives there, so when I leave, I don't have to worry about my son.
Yeah.
Those are big deals. I mean, I know my mom would never move out here. So, then how am I going to travel and do the kind of things I can do if I don't have someone that I trust to, stay with my son while I'm gone? So.
I'll tell you what, John Romano sure had a hard time finding a babysitter while he was there.
Yeah. And you know what? I've never, ever left my son with a babysitter. He's always stayed with my mom. Pretty crazy, but never. So.
Oh. What do you think? I mean, the winter up there would be weird for you.
What'll be weird for me?
The winter. The winter in New York is like pretty hardcore.
I was born and raised in northern Minnesota, about 2 hours from the Canadian border.
Oh.
It would get to like 30 below there in the winter.
Wow.
Yeah. So moving to Arizona was a huge shocker for me. I moved when I was 16. My parents moved me down there and I hated it. It was so freaking hot. And the people are a lot different, too. And so, quite honestly, I don't mind cold weather. I like it.
Well, hopefully it'll be cold in Atlanta. So are you getting excited for Nationals?
I am very excited for Nationals. I'm excited to see you. I think we're going to have fun.
Yeah. Sally? Yeah. I'm more excited for Nationals than I was for the Olympia. Isn't that weird?
Are you really? Yeah, you know,
why?
We have fun stuff planned, though. We got a few fun things planned. Maybe that's fun.
Yeah, we got fun things planned, and I think that the Olympia weekend, it's like there's things you have to go to. You know, like I feel like I like with the shows, you know, it's kind of like one thing after another. There's the expo during the day, you know. Then you go right to another event. Then you go right to the show. Then you got to go right to the, you know, party. It was like
it's just exhausting. You're right. We didn't go out just for that reason. We were just exhausted by the time we were done. You know, 3 a.m, we were done with our work, and it was like, we're not going out. We're tired.
So. Hey, guys, I hate to put an end to this love fest, but we have to end the show.
Okay.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's all right. Wait a minute.
G. Davis just posted something. What about Dave Palumbo? Is he your kind of guy?
No.
Okay. Just curious. Okay. Just curious. All right.
I knew that question would eventually come up because I'm staying at his house.
I just thought about it. It's like, you know, he's kind of a manly man, but he's also...
Oh, Dave is no manly
he's
man.
He's sensitive. Well, when he's not wearing his mascara, he is.
Said you weren't a manly man, Dave.
Dave is a manly man when he's not wearing mascara. Tell him I said that. Sally.
Carl says you're manly when you're not wearing mascara.
That's all.
Did you hear that?
No, what did he say?
He says you can still wear makeup and be manly if you're a real man.
There you go. He's right. He's right. Dave is a very masculine guy, and he's muscular. He's bigger than you. You know, and he's very,
stop,
and I also know
make,
he's sensitive.
No,
he's also a very sensitive guy. You know what I mean? I know that he's a sensitive guy, and I'm not going to try to push that. Never mind.
Thank you, Carl. Okay. I appreciate that.
Okay. David Arquette is on the market. What about him?
Yes. No, yeah, he's kind of goofy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can handle that. That might just piss me off after a while.
Yeah.
You could beat the shit out of him, too, so you probably would.
That would be the fun thing with him. Like, when you did get mad at him, you could just kick his ass.
You know what? I don't want a guy who wants me to kick his ass.
I'm sure Courtney Arquette kicked his ass a couple times.
That was, hey, Carl, you'll think this is interesting. At the after party, at the after party in Dre's in Las Vegas, one of these girls that was with Haley McNeff, one of these female bodybuilder chicks,
right.
A guy came up to her, like a random guy. He came up to her and he said, like, he whispered something to her. And then she started choking him out right there in the bar, like, seriously, like, fucking, like, looked like she's trying to kill him. And I was like, holy shit. And we're all looking at her. And the guy drops to the ground like a stat, like bricks, you know?
Right.
He gets up and he thanks her and he starts hugging her and saying, thank you, thank you. And I was like, wow.
Are you serious? That would totally creep me out.
It was so weird.
I'm not going to manhandle
that. Like killing him. Anyway.
Some strange stuff. Sally Ann, you'll never have any trouble finding a man. That rhymes, Sally Ann. Sally Ann will never have trouble finding a man, Sally Ann, Sally Ann. But
lovely poem.
When you're ready, I've been writing a lot of poetry lately, man. My prose. Hey, Aaron read some of my poetry, right, Aaron?
He's good. He's pretty good.
Well, write me a poem, Carl.
My heart belongs to one woman right now. I can't write poetry for anybody else but her. I really can't. I haven't been able to write poetry until I met her. So that's the God's honest truth.
Okay.
But anyway, I want to wish you all the luck with your new position as vice president. I think that you do need some underlings that you can abuse and sexually harass once in a while.
Okay, I'll ask Dave for something.
Tell Dave that Carl says he insists off topic insists that he hire you an underling that you can sexually abuse. Okay.
Okay, I will let him know.
Okay, have fun, get home safe, and don't let them corrupt you while you're in New York. Okay.
Okay, I promise. And Aaron, okay.
We're corrupting her in Atlanta.
There you go. Wait for Atlanta to be corrupted. We also want to thank Chrissy Chin for coming on the show tonight and talking to us about her life and times. Wonderful girl. Congratulations. And then also we want to thank the tape recording of PJ Braun for coming on the show tonight. Because PJ is...
Sally will also be seeing them.
Yeah, there you go. Take a look at his glutes for me, okay? All right, we'll see everybody next Wednesday with another episode of Off Topic. Till then, don't listen to anyone else's radio shows except maybe Superhuman Radio. You can listen to that one. Okay, see
what
you
about Heavy Muscle Radio? I'm doing it now.
Fuck Heavy Muscle Radio, man. Come on.
Oh, fuck Superhuman Radio.
No, fuck you, fuck you. All right, we'll see you next week.
We're only making plans for Nigel. Nigel just needs this help.